Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe, who, of course, you know from Dirty Jobs, as well as Mike Rowe Works, his charity. It's a great conversation about the state of work in America. Here's what it sounded like. Hey, Mike, it's great to see you again. It's been a while.
Been a hot minute. 2018, I want to say.
Yeah. Now we were back in Los Angeles at the time, a terrible place. And now I'm over here.
Sodom.
In Florida.
Sodom in the springtime.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And now we're here in Florida where it is hot and humid, but free. We all have pet alligators, and it's awesome. But a lot has happened for you in the meantime. You have a brand new movie coming out called Something to Stand For. Let me start with that. What made you interested in doing this project? What is the project?
Well, it's a project I've been doing for years. I just didn't know it. You know, that's happened to me in a lot of things. It happened with Dirty Jobs. It happened with the foundation. The headlines, sometimes, if you're lucky, will like catch up to your smack and make you relevant in ways that you didn't fully plan or anticipate. Something to Stand For is really a collection of nine stories that I wrote on my podcast years ago that wound up getting adapted for the big screen, specifically for Independence Day. They're all, it's not a political movie. I should be clear about that, but it is very patriotic and unapologetically so. So some people might be triggered. If they're not careful.
I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, the fact that, you know, things that are just sort of baseline patriotic now have become controversial. I think that's incredibly bizarre because there is this giant divide between sort of the political chattering class and the vast majority of Americans. The vast majority of Americans are going to watch something like your movie and they're not going to feel the politics of it. But the chattering class obviously is going to. What's happened to create that divide?
So much. You know, I mean, the language is a very vulnerable target in times like these, and words stop meaning what we think they mean. And it's well and good to have a couple of parties that disagree fundamentally on a bunch of things. I've never had a problem with that. But I do think the anti-Americanism that's crept into the conversation is a different thing. And so I'm real clear in the movie, and I'm real clear when I talk about it, that you know, I didn't write it for Republicans or Democrats or liberals or conservatives. I wrote it for people who still see themselves first and foremost as Americans. And it is unfortunate that there is a cohort today that fundamentally sees themselves as something else. And so the movie's not for them. They're welcome to come. But first and foremost, it was actually an article by Jim Lowry over at the National Review that inspired this when the statues were coming down and most recently when the statues were being dressed up with Hamas friendly garb. You know, I was just like, what are we doing? You know, we're going to have this whole conversation again. So the stories I write for my podcast are based on that old Paul Harvey format. It's a mystery essentially. So you learn something you didn't know about somebody you do. You get to try and figure it out along the way. They're fun. But I just stitched these together with a field trip of sorts to D.C., met some park rangers, met some old men, Ben, there randomly on honor flights. We connected at the World War II Memorial, the Marines Memorial, the Lincoln. It was basically a love letter to the memorials and monuments that are such a big part of our story, intercut with these weird tales about famous people that helped build our country, who you do know through the lens of something you didn't.
You know, one of the things that, has really happened is that there used to be sort of a baseline just understanding that America was a fundamentally good place, and that despite all of our flaws, the constitutional principles are unique in world history, that the story of America is trying to live up to those principles. Ever so often, Joe Biden pays lip service to this idea, but this used to be sort of a commonly understood thing. And I think that that has fallen away, and it's fallen away in sort of the most ignorant way, which is nobody even realizes that there are other cultures on planet Earth. And to truly understand how amazing America is, you really do have to understand history and that there is like an entire rest of the world out there. And the rest of the world has an enormous number of truly crappy places, like places you would never want to live, with awful values, with people who believe precisely the opposite of what we believe and have been deeply inculcated in that belief system. And you have to have the respect for those people to at least acknowledge that they have a different belief system. They're not just fundamentally stupid, that that belief system is fundamentally opposed to your own. And you know, we're recording this right now on D-Day. And what, when I see how much of the online Twitter space about, like, were we fighting the wrong people during World War II? How good really is America? What kind of atrocities did America commit during World War II? Do you know how ignorant you have to be about Imperial Japan or about Nazi Germany or in the Cold War era about Soviet Russia in order to even make the moral comparison between the United States and its activities over the course of the 20th century and these other countries?
It's a really good point. You have to be aggressively ignorant. You have to be willfully ignorant in ways you didn't have to be 30, 40, 50 years ago, because the very device that you just mentioned is your pathway into all of the known information in the history of the world. So anybody with a modicum of curiosity, look, you might find experts who disagree. In fact, I'd argue part of the reason we're living in such a fraught time is because it's tough to find experts who agree, and it's difficult also to find historians who are all on the same page about everything. It's why my podcast is called The Way I Heard It. Honestly, I mean, 6 years ago, it seemed pretty clear we were headed in this direction, and as people are claiming to be the true source of knowledge, I kind of wanted to inject a little bit of humility into that and step back and say, look, I'm not an expert, but I do have the same unprecedented access to the past as you. And I am curious about it. And I don't mind reading things that are inconvenient or that challenge my worldview. But your first point to me is the best point. You must get out of your zip code. You must get out of your state. You must get out of the country. And when I say must, I don't mean it's imperative that you do, but if you truly want to wrap yourself in a cloak of appreciation and gratitude for the incredibly good cards that we all have in this country, then you can't just be the blind man who grabs the tusk on the elephant and says, oh, look, I found a bunch of ivory, or the tail, and says, oh, I found this, or the trunk, or the legs. It's a big world, and the differences are wildly disparate. And it's so true. The best way to truly appreciate what happened in 1776 and on the 6th of June and on so many important dates, including current dates, is to have some sort of understanding from whence we came.
You know, one of the ironies of the sort of anti-American perspective is that it really is a sort of America-centric viewpoint. As I say, like, in order to understand how amazing America is, as we say, you have to actually understand other cultures and then understand what America is in opposition to those other cultures, because, again, it's a world filled with people. But that never seems to take place. It's this sort of America-centric view where the only place that matters on Earth is America. And also, America is the only country with agency. So if somebody opposes the United States, it's always blowback. It's always because we must have done something to piss them off. And this is the whole anti-Western point of view, is that the West is constantly responsible for the sins of everybody else, that if there's a terror attack, it must be because somebody made those terrorists super angry. So if only we had done something better, then the terrorists wouldn't be angry. Or if only we had been kinder to the Japanese during World War II, then Pearl Harbor never happened. Or if only we were less interventionist on the foreign policy front, then we wouldn't see chaos all over the world. As opposed to the idea that, no, actually, pretty much everybody on Earth has free will and agency, and they all get to make decisions for themselves. And so then the question becomes, who's making a good decision versus who's making a bad decision?
Right. And put on top of that, the trap of the binary. I think a lot of what's happened today that has fostered all of the anti-American sentiment, or at least a big chunk of it, is this idea that if I stand for the flag, if I sing the national anthem loudly, if I put my hand on my heart and recite the pledge proudly, then for some reason that gets processed as, oh, he thinks the country's perfect. Oh, he thinks America's the best, period. Beat it if you disagree. The whole notion of nuance, Ben, you know, the whole idea that you can love an idea, love a notion, and come together and celebrate the intent of the founders, along with the incredible sacrifice of every man and woman who's ever worn the uniform. Like, if we're not allowed to do that without immediately saying, but that's not to say that we haven't made a whole bunch of mistakes, or but that's not to say that we, of course we have a long way to go. Of course it's a work in progress. Of course we're not finished, but that's the nuance that's lost. So to make the case for Jefferson, to make the case for Washington, to talk about the incredible genius of those minds, people simply can't hear it because they can't see these men in their own time. They have to see them now, and they can't, it seems, think about what's really on the table. I think maybe it's because judging is so much easier to do and so much more fun, right? So we've kind of abdicated the thinking part of the dialogue and replaced it with the judging part, and then completely arbitraged the whole notion of context out of it. And so it's black or white, it's blue collar or white collar, it's good or bad or right or wrong, and so forth and so on. And so bye-bye nuance, right?
And one of the things that's so ironic about all of that is the very same people who will, you know, go soft on terrorists, because obviously those terrorists have motivations of their own, we can't blame them for their activities, they're the same exact people who are very, very harsh on the founding fathers. So they'll be very harsh on George Washington for being a slaveholder, which, of course, I mean, slavery is bad. We all get it. But turns out that most of the world did not get that in approximately 1770. In fact, most of the world was still holding slaves in 1770. And so the you know, understanding that is completely meritless for them. Those people have to be robbed of all nuance. But all nuance must be provided to people in the here and now who are doing truly evil things. Those people require all of the context and nuance that can be mustered for them. But a historic figure whose principles you are living on the back of, in the end, what this comes down to is an extraordinary level of narcissism and ingratitude for the past, this belief that you sprang full-fledged into existence with this set of principles, and so everything that you think that is good and true is because you reasoned your way to it yourself. Now, Robert George, my friend, is the philosophy professor over at Princeton. He does a thought exercise with his students where he says, okay, let's say that you're living in 1861 Alabama. You were brought up in 1861 Alabama. How many of you are working with the Underground Railroad? How many of you are siding with the North as opposed to the Confederacy in the Civil War? And every hand goes up. And he says, you're lying. That's obviously not true. That's obviously not true. But, you know, we have this very flattering view of ourselves that we are the only perfect people in history. And everybody else in history is a sinner, even if those are the people who develop the principles that we stand on the back of. More on that in just a second. This Christmas, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mom and her baby. Picture a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling overwhelmed, alone, unsure what to do. She's desperately searching for hope. That's where Preborn Ministries steps in. Kelsey found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. Like many women in her situation, she felt scared, uncertain about what to do. Having already experienced one abortion, she promised God she didn't want to go through that again, but life has a way of testing promises. By the grace of God, Kelsey and her partner found their way to a Preborn Network clinic. From the moment they walked through the doors, they were overwhelmed by love and compassion. There, Kelsey was introduced to her unborn baby through a sonogram. Hearing that tiny heartbeat brought them both to tears. Together, they chose life. Today, Kelsey is deeply grateful for her beautiful son, whose joy lights up her life. This Christmas, for just $28, you can help save a life. Thanks to a special matching grant, your gift will be doubled by Preborn. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. Alrighty, folks, coming up more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales event at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Redding. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. Visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street. We are here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Redding. Call us today at 530-338-2094.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johanneson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs. Professional.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a few weeks back, we had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe. You know, I'm from Dirty Jobs. Here's what the conversation sounded like. So I want to ask you, because obviously you're a master storyteller, of the stories that you tell in Something to Stand For, do you have a personal favorite? What's your favorite story that you talk about in the movie?
It's a great question and a truly vexing one, because if you know the old Paul Harvey format, the rest of the story, they're all a surprise. They're all a reveal, you know, and I don't want to wreck it for people, but I'll tell you, the greatest thing that happened filming the movie, and by the way, this entire, all of the recreations, which are pretty elaborate, were all shot in Oklahoma. There are 300 actors in this thing. They're all from Oklahoma. The entire crew is from Oklahoma. We started talking about the advantages of leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, where I'm currently broadcasting from. You're in Florida, where it's hot and free, and in Nashville. You know, I film in Georgia, where the tax breaks are nice, but they're even better in Oklahoma. So for a whole lot of practical reasons, you know, I wanted to tell some stories from the heart, and I wanted to do it from the heartland. So this mostly takes place in Oklahoma. But to stitch it together, I drove the old Bronco into D.C. on this field trip on steroids. And while I was there, Ben, I went to Arlington. I went to all the big memorials, and their honor flights were everywhere. Old men, 80s, 90s, met a couple guys in their hundreds, wheelchairs, there with their families, there with volunteers, going to these memorials. going to these monuments, going to these statues, dude, I mean, I know you've seen it, but when you see tears streaming down the worn and leathered face of a man who risked his life to make yours better, sitting there, looking at that wall of stars at the World War II Memorial, and really seeing for the first time that collective expression of gratitude built for him. I'll tell you, man, I'm not overly earnest, but the movie, I hope, will have an exponential impact and really magnify that little thing. And again, final thought on it, it just goes to show part of the movie is very, very scripted. These stories are very deliberate. You know, I tell them from an empty stage in an empty theater, and then we bring them to life. But it's the unscripted moments. It's the people you run into, and thank God there's a behind-the-scenes camera always rolling with me, and you suddenly find a story you didn't know you needed to hear from a guy you didn't know existed, who was brought to a place by people who loved him to reconnect with the sacrifice he made once upon a time. That kind of storytelling does require a level of humility that demands you let go of your plan and point the camera at the most interesting thing that's going on.
So, you know, you've made a career out of doing exactly that, is taking stories that may have been left behind and bringing those to light. Obviously, that's true of dirty jobs and you know, many of the blue-collar jobs that seem to go neglected by the media. So I want to switch over to that topic for a moment, because one of the things that's happening in election 2024, again, without getting too political, is the feelings about the economy are heavily divided. Obviously, you have a group of people who've done quite well in the current inflationary economy. The people who've gotten absolutely clocked in the face is everybody in the middle class, blue-collar workers. Inflation has trashed them. Their wages have not kept up with the inflation. They've seen their prices on everyday goods and services go up tremendously. Going to a restaurant, at a cheap restaurant, is now a luxury. Being able to afford dinner is very difficult. All of the gas has gone up. All these things have happened over the course of the past few years. And then they're being told by the media that basically it's all a myth, that really there's nothing for them to worry about. So, you know, when you are talking with folks who are working blue collar jobs, what's the experience that you're getting from them on the ground right now?
It's largely that. However, there is a line in the blue collar world that often gets conflated, if not outright ignored. And that's the line between blue collar workers, both union and non-union, who fit really the cohort you've just described, and the entrepreneurs. My foundation really tries to encourage a level of entrepreneurship along with the curiosity required to master a skill that's in demand. The entrepreneurs that I've stayed in touch with, and we've had about 2,000 people go through MicroWorks, it's one of the great unreported stories of our time. A guy spends $8,000 and gets his welding certification, and he begins to work, and then he expands that certification. Maybe he's welding underwater. Maybe he's doing different kinds of fairly esoteric parts, aspects of welding that most people don't know. But more often than not, what he does is he buys a van and he hires a buddy who's a plumber, and then he gets another guy who's an electrician, and then he gets some heating and air conditioning guys, and before you know it, you have a mechanical contracting company. But the real conversation that's happening today isn't, oh my God, I didn't know you could make 150 grand as a plumber or a welder, or oh my God, I had no idea that plumbers were in such demand here, here, and here. The conversation today is, oh my God, you're telling me I have to wait 4 days for a plumber? A week? Everything you just said is true, but underneath it is some really bad math. The math goes like this. Every year, 5 skilled tradespeople retire. For every 5 who retire, 2 replace them. Now it's closer to 1.5. And it's been like that for nearly 20 years. So we're seeing an incredible lack of interest and enthusiasm around these skilled trades. And so I guess my answer is, it's true. Inflation, super bad. Inflation credentialing, something else we could talk about, a real problem. The cost of college, an enormous problem. The unintended consequences of forgiving student loans, all that stuff is part and parcel of the madness that's happening right now. But the entrepreneur who took the time to master a skill that's in demand is crushing it in this economy. And they're setting their own schedule, and nobody's talking about them. And that's too bad, because as examples go, they're good ones.
Coming up, more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a Happy New Year.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Exam required to qualify. Exam required to qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I sat down with Mike Rowe. We had a great conversation. Here's some of what it sounded like. So let's talk about that fact that our economy has been geared toward the college graduate for 60 years at this point, that basically for the last three generations, there's been a huge push that every single person needs to go to college. You and I talked about this back in 2018, and many of these people are not getting degrees in anything productive. It's not like they're going to a STEM field where they're actually learning a skill set. They're doing what I did, and they're getting a poli-sci degree, mainly so they can go to law school, or if they can't go to law school, they get a poli-sci degree and then hope to latch on it at some sort of white-collar job doing desk work somewhere. But a lot of those degrees are effectively worthless or counterproductive, given that they're now being put into serious debt. So let's say that you have an 18-year-old, and you're now thinking about college. This has actually become a big issue in my personal community because, obviously, you've seen a wide increase in anti-Semitism on a lot of these college campuses. So I'm getting a lot of questions on a personal level from Orthodox Jews who are coming to me like, I have an 18-year-old. My kid doesn't want to be a doctor, doesn't want to be an engineer. What do I do with my kid? And what I've been saying to them is you might want to think very seriously about seeing if you can find an apprenticeship for your kid with a good business and seeing if you can, you know, take all the money you're going to pour into college and then maybe give them a chestnut that they can use to build a business once they actually have a skill set. What's the case you'd make to an 18-year-old? When is it good to go to college? When is it bad to go to college? Well, what would you be telling an 18-year-old who isn't necessarily going to be a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a very personal conversation. One of the things I've become deeply skeptical of is cookie cutter advice, bromides, platitudes. The desire to paint with a broad brush is part of the reason we got into this problem, right? People started to say, in an attempt to make a more persuasive case for higher education, they started to say all sorts of great things about those outcomes. But then, as with all PR, we went too far and we weren't content to simply say, look at all the great things that higher education give you. We had to say, if you don't do that, you're going to wind up over here turning a wrench with some vocational consolation prize, right? And this always happens. We always, always, always go too far. We're trying to make a case for a thing that needs some love, but we do it at the expense of all the other things. Then you pull shop class out of high school contemporaneously with that and remove from view all optical proof of these other vocations. And presto, you got a whole generation of kids who don't even know these jobs exist, right? So we did that, and that was super dumb. And now, you know, parents are looking for advice. We are looking for a simple thing to say to an 18-year-old kid who's trying to, you know, weigh and measure the whole thing. But it's tough for the reason you just brought up. I always used to think, look, regarding my own liberal arts education, I value it a great deal, but it didn't cost a great deal. You know, I went to a community college that happened to have some great teachers, and then I went to a university for a couple years, got my basic communications degree from Towson State. And when I add it all up, right, the community college, couple of years at the university, graduated in 1984, the whole thing was $12,200. Today, the same course load, same schools, it's like $94,000. And so my thing was always, look, you can't say a thing is valuable at any cost without having a rational conversation about debt. So I always kind of stayed in that lane. And in that lane, I've been able to say, look, I got this device here. You know, like we said earlier, I'm tapped into 99% of the known information in the history of time. I just watched a lecture on my device over at MIT for free. Okay. So, you know, the access to all of that information is wildly different than it was when I graduated in the mid-80s from school. And the fact that the price has increased at the rate it has, I mean, nothing, Ben, and nothing in the history of Western civilization has become more expensive than a four-year degree over the last 40 years. Not energy, not real estate, not health care, nothing, right? And yet, it's still there. So I still make that point a lot. But to your point, the idea that not only is it too expensive, but it's damn dangerous, that too many of these schools are aggressively and willfully ignoring our past, if not changing our past. I hate to say indoctrination centers because, you know, it's that turning into a platitude as well. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I'll tell you this. Never, I've been doing this 16 years, raising money for work ethic scholarships and giving a couple million bucks away every year. Never before, not since Labor Day of 2008 anyway, has higher ed made my job easier. Never before have the headlines sent more people with deep pockets to MicroWorks to say, you know something? I'm simply not going to reward Harvard. And with respect, I know you graduated there, but come on, man, $51 billion in endowment, and we are now forgiving the loans from some Harvard grads? What are we doing? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I think I got this right, though. In the late 1950s, the average GPA for a Harvard graduate was something like 2.6, 2.7. Today it's 3.9. Talk about inflation. What's happening at Harvard? What's happening at Brown? What's happening at Dartmouth and Yale and so forth is extraordinary, both on the front that you mentioned, the protests, the plagiarism tearing through the administration. All of that stuff is making parents and donors nervous in ways that are totally different from the mere outrageousness of the cost. So what do I tell an 18-year-old in light of all of that? I say put every single option on the table. And I mean from apprenticeships, all of the scholarships, the Ivy League, community colleges, every single thing. And don't forget about the magic box that gives you access to the best liberal arts degree you could ever have at an affordable price. Don't forget that. But weigh it. And measure it and make your decision and know that, in the words of Led Zeppelin, there'll still be time to change the road you're on.
Yeah, there's so many bubbles that are associated with higher education. There's the price bubble, where obviously the demand has outstripped the supply largely because of subsidies from the government, because you can get easy, cheap money from the government to go to college. And so everything the government subsidizes has become more expensive. And then you have the ideological bubble that has expanded and expanded and expanded, and I think separated off the normal American from the universities in a particularly perverse way. I really think that, I've said this for a long time, there's been a lot of attempts to explain the phenomenon of Donald Trump or the blue-collar love for Donald Trump as a sort of reflection of economic concerns. What I've always said is that's wrong. It's a cultural concern. It's the fact that Donald Trump took these people seriously as opposed to all the college graduates who were staffing up the Obama administration, really kind of looked down on people who worked blue-collar jobs and who saw those people as having bitter clinger values. That Donald Trump has always represented a cultural challenge to an endemic hegemony of the left more than he has an economic challenge per se. And so there's that bubble, this ideological bubble that exists on campus. And then there's this third bubble that I think is really going to burst pretty quickly. And that's something we talked about back in 2018, but with regard to blue collar jobs. And as it turns out, it's actually more of a threat to white collar jobs, and that is AI. So there's a lot of talk about how AI was going to put a bunch of blue-collar workers out of work circa 2018. And here there was a lot of talk specifically about, say, truck drivers. And that was a concern. It remains a concern. We are close to self-driving technology, which is going to lower the cost on a lot of goods and services, obviously, because shipping costs are very large when you're talking about supply chains. However, the vast majority of jobs that are set to just get destroyed by AI are all in the white-collar domain. A huge number of lawyers are going to lose their jobs because of AI. A huge number of journalists are going to lose their jobs because of AI. If you have a college degree in the liberal arts, your job just became way more expendable. If you have an art degree, AI is going to be able to outdo you very quickly. I don't know whether that's because it was made by people who had those kinds of degrees or whether it's simply that it's easier to synthesize information in these sorts of verbal or artistic forms than it is to actually work in the real world. One of the and you've seen this with machines. Machines are very good at performing simple tasks, but they can't, like, clean your room for you because that involves a right. bunch of different tasks put together. So it looks like there's going to be a resurgence in the blue-collar market, and there's going to be a downturn in some of the white-collar market.
Look, if you're a fan of irony, it's delicious. And I say that with great respect to anybody who's going to be adversely impacted. But I spent a lot of time, 2016, 17, 18, every symposium I was invited to, every talk I gave, every think tank that welcomed me, you know, it always came back not to AI, but to tech in general and robotics and the displacement impact that that was going to have on the jobs that my foundation typically focuses on. And I spent a lot of time, you know, trying to thread that needle. I talked a lot about the Luddite revolution. I talked about the fact that, look, it's not going to be as clear as you think it is. There will be an impact, and there are some robotic welding situations happening now that are mind-bogglingly efficient and effective, and it did have an impact. But it didn't have the impact that anyone thought. Not nearly to the degree. In fact, if you want job security right now, it is plumbing, steam fitting, electric, and it's the skilled trades. It's all that stuff. It's never been more secure than it is right now. But wow, dude, the AI thing, somebody sent me a link the other day and said, you just got to click on this, Mike. I asked the program to narrate a couple of paragraphs of this thing I'm working on in the style of Mike Rowe narrating Deadliest Catch. And I clicked on it, and I listened to it. And had he not told me what it was, I would have simply assumed, yeah, that's something I did 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember it, but it's me. Well, it's not, you know. And so you're right. I believe the impact on all the fields you mentioned is going to be real. But you mentioned art, too. And I'd love to riff on that with you for a minute, because when you take the art out of a thing, whatever the thing is, that's almost always the beginning of the end of the thing. And it's true of shop class. It's true of the skilled trades. You know, I'm old enough to remember when I was in high school, that stuff was called the vocational arts. And then they took out the art and it became vo-tech. Once you hyphenate something, you know, forget it. The end is near. Vo-tech turns into a bunch of squishy other acronyms I don't even remember. And then we just settled on shop, right? Shop. And then we walked it behind the barn and shot it. And that's how we got shop class out of high school, right? We started by retweaking the language and removing the art. When I think of AI and when I think of the possibility, I mean, what are you going to do when the machine, with the help of AI, can create a Picasso or a Manet or a Monet or a Renoir or a Da Vinci that is virtually indistinguishable, even with the greatest authenticators and the greatest umpires coming in. And when they can't tell the difference between a Beatles song that was just discovered that nobody ever heard and the fake that was just discovered that nobody ever heard, right? What's going to happen to the way we think about creativity and originality and ownership and money? How are we going to assign a value to a fake that's better than the original? What is scarcity going to mean in all of these places? It's going to not just change the way people get paid to do stuff. It's going to fundamentally jack with our whole value system. And the way we assign gratitude to a thing, right? If a difficult thing is now made with such ease, how are we to think about that too?
We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, a couple years back, I was tossing and turning all night. Then I decided to try a Helix mattress. Let me tell you, it is a game changer. So here's what's great about Helix. They have 20 different mattresses. They've got the Lux for your fancy types, the Elite for the extra fancy. They've got the Helix Plus for the big fellas. They're the kind of dudes who love to eat beef, but really hate soy. Now, you might be thinking, Ben, how do I know which one is right for me? The answer is you take that Helix Sleep Quiz. It's quick, it's easy, it takes less than 2 minutes. I took the quiz myself. I was matched with a medium firm mattress, which is perfect because if the mattress is too soft, I get back pain. Here's another great thing about Helix. They ship your personalized mattress directly to your door free of charge. No dealing with mattress salesmen who are about as trustworthy as legacy media fact checkers. And get this, they give you 100 nights to try it out. Plus, there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So if you want to sleep as soundly as I do, head on over to helixsleep.com/pen and take that sleep quiz. Plus, Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders for our listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/Ben. That's helixsleep.com/Ben. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Alrighty, folks, coming up more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a few weeks back, we had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe. You know, I'm from Dirty Jobs. Here's what the conversation sounded like. I mean, I think that people even now are underestimating what AI is going to do. I remember I was first shown an exhibition of ChatGPT-1, like the original version, must have been 2.5 years ago. And during this exhibition, I remember they said that the person who was showing it to me said that they had given it this prompt, and the prompt was a basic political question, like, can liberal democracy survive? And it churned out 5 paragraphs of pretty well-written prose about the conflicts between liberalism and democracy and all of this kind of stuff. And I remember my wife was there, too. We looked at each other like, that can't be real. And, of course, not only was it real, it was, you know, a very early iteration. And then we came back to a similar seminar a year later, and I was noting to somebody, well, you know, I've been playing with ChatGPT a little bit online, and I can see these errors. I've made videos, but I said, oh, we're like three versions beyond that. Like what you're seeing publicly, we are way beyond that. And what I'm being told by people who work in this industry is that we're 3 to 5 years away from artificial general intelligence, which is a completely different thing than what we're talking about now. Artificial intelligence is you enter a prompt and then the AI answers you by giving you the best answer it can. We're getting to the point with artificial general intelligence where it prompts itself, where it basically decides what questions it wants to ask, and then it pursues those answers faster than any human brain or network of human brains can. And that's going to boggle everybody's mind. I mean, it's going to destroy the way everything works. And so I think that ironically, what you're actually going to see is a reversion to many of the things that we have abandoned in favor of the tech world. So we abandoned getting together in person in favor of the tech world. We abandoned, you know, church in favor of the tech world, in favor of sort of pseudo-social interaction. But it turns out that the way that we're going to end up finding human connection is going to not, we're not going to be able to mediate that via technology anymore. We're actually going to have to, like, get together in person. We're going to have to go to events again. We're going to have to see people face-to-face. And that's going to receive enormous priority because everything else, as you say, can be done unbelievably cheaply. If I want to have a conversation with Mike Rowe 2 years from now, I'm just going to be able to type in, speak to me as Mike Rowe and have a conversation with you. But it's not going to be the same as if you and I got together over a cup of coffee.
That's right. Remember the old song? I think it's so groovy now that people are finally getting together. I think it's wonderful. I think you're right. I think there's going to be a giant reversion to something fundamental. Back to my question. How long you want to wait for a plumber? You know, AI is not going to change the answer to that. The answer is going to be, I don't want to wait. I want it now, right? So some things that have been out of favor are going to become wildly, wildly in favor. And so much of what we've been told is aspirational and what we've aspired to is going to freak us out. And yeah, I don't even know how to think about it other than to say it is all going, I think, things are going to get so basic. I posted something yesterday. Riley Gaines was on my podcast. I mean, brave kid, 24 years old, you know, and I said to her on the podcast, and I just wrote this and I might live to regret it. I don't know. But I said, you know, Riley, you're the kid in the emperor's new clothes. You're the only one surrounded by all those townspeople who pointed and said a thing that everybody was pretending not to see. And I only bring that up because I think in some way our whole conversation is informed by people who are willing to say the thing that they clearly see to be true, those who disagree, but the majority of people in Hans Christian Andersen's story were the townspeople. And they were the ones who had to figure out whether or not to open their mouth, and most of them didn't. And then they had to figure out whether or not to open their mouth after the kid said what was self-evident, and some of them still didn't, right? But many did. And that dynamic is at work with everything we've talked about. It's at work with AI. It's at work with our politics. It's at work with our history. Maybe it's because we have so much information at our disposal coming at us from so many different directions that we can find something to automatically gainsay whatever it is the other side says they see. But we are entering this brave new world, you know, where we're all seeing the same thing, but concluding different things as a result. And I don't even know what to make of that, except to quote Huxley, who said in Brave New World, I think, that the greatest threat to democracy was total anarchy, but the second greatest threat was total efficiency. And what will we do when efficiency has so completely eclipsed effectiveness that all we're left with is this calculus of time and verisimilitude? And final thought, you said what came back was some pretty good prose, you know? And that was my feeling too with my legal experience. But back to the art, look, this is the first batter in the first inning of a very long game.
Mike, really appreciate the time, and of course, it's great to be with you.
Likewise. Let's do it again in, I don't know, 5 years, 5 months, or we'll get our avatars and our ciphers together, and we'll just hit the proper keys, and nobody will know the difference.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. The U.S. apparently is sending more than $1 billion worth of weapons to Ukraine.
Sources tell the Associated Press the U.S. is sending more than $1.25 billion in military aid to Ukraine. They say an official announcement is expected Monday as President Biden attempts to get as much aid to Ukraine as possible before leaving office January 20th. Many U.S. and European leaders worry President-elect Trump won't provide Ukraine with all the weapons funding approved by Congress. The aid package reportedly includes a significant amount of munitions, including for the National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems and for the Hawk Air Defense System. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Also at townhall.com, a new poll shows how Americans see the killing of UnitedHealthcare's CEO. Correspondent Donna Warder has more.
In a survey from the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago, about 8 in 10 adults in the U.S. see the person who shot and killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson has a great deal or a moderate amount of responsibility for the December 4th shooting in New York City. Despite that, some people have cast 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, the suspect, as a hero. Police say the words delay, deny, and depose were scrawled on ammunition investigators found at the scene. Those words commonly describe insurer tactics to avoid paying claims. Donna Warder, Washington.
The illegal immigrant accused of burning a woman to death inside a New York City subway train has been indicted on state charges. A prosecutor announced 33-year-old Sebastian Zepeda's indictment at a court hearing earlier today. Two top Canadian cabinet ministers have met with President-elect Trump's nominee for Commerce Secretary at Mar-a-Lago as Canada tries to avoid sweeping tariffs when Trump takes office. You'll find more analysis and news at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Right now with an important alert. Home title fraud is one of the fastest growing white collar crimes in the country. Criminals can make millions on your house without you even knowing it. Michael, you were one of those criminals?
Yeah, that's right. I was responsible for about $16 million in equity theft and title fraud.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was easy to do. It's just paperwork. So by the time you find out what's happening, the equity in your home is already gone.
So how do you keep your property and equity safe? For more, here's Action News reporter Ron Steven.
Monica, an in-depth investigation found there's actually just one company that prevents this type of crime from happening, Equity Protect. Equity Protect scans, monitors, alerts, and most importantly, protects you from any attempts to tamper with or steal your home equity and ownership 24 hours a day. Other companies merely monitor. Equity Protect stops the crime from happening. Find out if you're already a victim or take a free risk assessment today at equityprotect.com. That's Equity Protect.
What a wonderful year 2024 has been for investors.
U.S. stocks soared higher and carried the S&P 500 to records as the economy kept growing and the Federal Reserve began cutting interest rates. The benchmark index posted its first back-to-back annual gains of more than 20% since 1998. The year featured many familiar winners, such as big tech, which got even bigger as their stock prices kept growing.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, in addition to big tech, other winners were Bitcoin and gold. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says her agency will need to start taking extraordinary measures or special accounting maneuvers intended to prevent the nation from hitting the debt ceiling as early as January 14th. In a letter sent to congressional leaders Friday afternoon, the department has taken such action in the past. You'll find breaking news and analysis, more stories and headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor reporting. The oldest living survivor of the 1941 Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor has died.
Warren Red Upton died on Christmas Day. He was 105 years old. He was serving aboard the USS Utah during the 1941 Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. He was a radio man After the ship was hit and began to capsize, Upton and others abandoned ship and swam to Ford Island. Along the way, he helped another shipmate who couldn't swim. Ultimately, 58 USS Utah crew members died that day, many of them unable to escape the ship as it rolled over. Upton continued to serve as a radio man throughout the war. Once it was over, he returned home, got married, and had a family. His wife, Jean, a former Navy nurse, passed away in 2018. Bill Alexander, Washington.
Longtime CBS sportscaster Greg Gumbel has died from cancer. His family announced his death in a statement released by CBS earlier today. In March, he missed his first NCAA tournament since 1997 due to what he said was health issues. He was 78 years old.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe, who, of course, you know from Dirty Jobs, as well as Mike Rowe Works, his charity. It's a great conversation about the state of work in America. Here's what it sounded like. Hey, Mike, it's great to see you again. It's been a while.
Been a hot minute. 2018, I want to say.
Yeah. Now, we were back in Los Angeles at the time, a terrible place. And now I'm over here
Sodom.
In Florida.
Sodom in the springtime.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And now we're here in Florida where it is hot and humid, but free. We all have pet alligators, and it's awesome. But a lot has happened for you in the meantime. You have a brand new movie coming out called Something to Stand For. Why don't we start with that? What made you interested in doing this project? What is the project?
Well, it's a project I've been doing for years. I just didn't know it. You know, that's happened to me in a lot of things. It happened with Dirty Jobs. It happened with the foundation. The headlines, sometimes, if you're lucky, will like catch up to your smack and make you relevant in ways that you didn't fully plan or anticipate. Something to Stand For is really a collection of nine stories that I wrote on my podcast years ago that wound up getting adapted for the big screen, specifically for Independence Day. They're all, it's not a political movie. I should be clear about that, but it is very patriotic and unapologetically so. So some people might be triggered.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're not careful.
I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, the fact that, you know, things that are just sort of baseline patriotic now have become controversial. I think that's incredibly bizarre because there is this giant divide between sort of the political chattering class and the vast majority of Americans. The vast majority of Americans are going to watch something like your movie and they're not going to feel the politics of it. But the chattering class obviously is going to. What's happened to create that divide?
So much. You know, I mean, the language is a very vulnerable target in times like these, and words stop meaning what we think they mean. And it's well and good to have a couple of parties that disagree fundamentally on a bunch of things. I've never had a problem with that. But I do think the anti-Americanism that's crept into the conversation is a different thing. And so I'm real clear in the movie, and I'm real clear when I talk about it, that you know, I didn't write it for Republicans or Democrats or liberals or conservatives. I wrote it for people who still see themselves first and foremost as Americans. And it is unfortunate that there is a cohort today that fundamentally sees themselves as something else. And so the movie's not for them. They're they're welcome to come. But first and foremost, it was actually an article by Jim Lowry over at the National Review that inspired this when the statues were coming down and most recently when the statues were being dressed up with Hamas-friendly garb. You know, I was just like, what are we doing? You know, we're going to have this whole conversation again. So the stories I write from my podcast are based on that old Paul Harvey format. It's a mystery, essentially. So you learn something you didn't know about somebody you do. You get to try and figure it out along the way. They're fun. But I just stitched these together with a field trip of sorts to D.C., met some park rangers, met some old men, Ben, there randomly on honor flights. We connected at the World War II Memorial, the Marines Memorial, the Lincoln. It was basically a love letter to the memorials and monuments that are such a big part of our story, intercut with these weird tales about famous people that helped build our country, who you do know through the lens of something you didn't.
You know, one of the things that has really happened is that there used to be sort of a baseline just understanding that America was a fundamentally good place, and that despite all of our flaws, the constitutional principles are unique in world history, that the story of America is trying to live up to those principles. Ever so often, Joe Biden pays lip service to this idea, but this used to be sort of a commonly understood thing. And I think that has fallen away, and it's fallen away in sort of the most ignorant way, which is nobody even realizes that there are other cultures on planet Earth. And to truly understand how amazing America is, you really do have to understand history and that there is like an entire rest of the world out there. And the rest of the world has an enormous number of truly crappy places, like places you would never want to live, with awful values, with people who believe precisely the opposite of what we believe and have been deeply inculcated in that belief system. And you have to have the respect for those people to at least acknowledge that they have a different belief system. They're not just fundamentally stupid, that belief system is fundamentally opposed to your own. And, you know, we're recording this right now on D-Day. And when I see how much of the online Twitter space about, like, were we fighting the wrong people during World War II? How good really is America? What kind of atrocities did America commit during World War II? Do you know how ignorant you have to be about Imperial Japan or about Nazi Germany or in the Cold War era about Soviet Russia in order to even make the moral comparison between the United States and its activities over the course of the 20th century and these other countries?
It's a really good point. You have to be aggressively ignorant. You have to be willfully ignorant in ways you didn't have to be 30, 40, 50 years ago, because the very device that you just mentioned is your pathway into all of the known information in the history of the world. So anybody with a modicum of curiosity, look, you might find experts who disagree. In fact, I'd argue part of the reason we're living in such a fraught time is because it's tough to find experts who agree, and it's difficult also to find historians who are all on the same page about everything. It's why my podcast is called The Way I Heard It, honestly. I mean, 6 years ago, it seemed pretty clear we were headed in this direction, and as people are claiming to be the true source of knowledge, I kind of wanted to inject a little bit of humility into that and step back and say, look, I'm not an expert, but I do have the same unprecedented access to the past as you. And I am curious about it. And I don't mind reading things that are inconvenient or that challenge my worldview. But your first point to me is the best point. You must get out of your zip code. You must get out of your state. You must get out of the country. And when I say must, I don't mean it's imperative that you do, but if you truly want to wrap yourself in a cloak of appreciation and gratitude for the incredibly good cards that we all have in this country, then you can't just be the blind man who grabs the tusk on the elephant and says, oh, look, I found a bunch of ivory, or the tail, and says, oh, I found this, or the trunk, or the legs. It's a big world, and the differences are wildly disparate. And it's so true. The best way to truly appreciate what happened in 1776 and on the 6th of June and on so many important dates, including current dates, is to have some sort of understanding from whence we came.
You know, one of the ironies of the sort of anti-American perspective is that it really is a sort of America-centric viewpoint. As I say, like, in order to understand how amazing America is, as we say, you have to actually understand other cultures and then understand what America is in opposition to those other cultures, because, again, it's a world filled with people. But that never seems to take place. It's this sort of America-centric view where the only place that matters on Earth is America. And also, America is the only country with agency. So if somebody opposes the United States, it's always blowback. It's always because we must have done something to piss them off. And this is the whole anti-Western point of view, is that the West is constantly responsible for the sins of everybody else, that if there's a terror attack, it must be because somebody made those terrorists super angry. So if only we had done something better, then the terrorists wouldn't be angry. Or if only we had been kinder to the Japanese during World War II, then Pearl Harbor never happened. Or if only we were less interventionist on the foreign policy front, then we wouldn't see chaos all over the world. As opposed to the idea that, no, actually, pretty much everybody on Earth has free will and agency, and they all get to make decisions for themselves. And so then the question becomes, who's making a good decision versus who's making a bad decision?
Right. And put on top of that, the trap of the binary. I think a lot of what's happened today that has fostered all of the anti-American sentiment, or at least a big chunk of it, is this idea that if I stand for the flag, if I sing the national anthem loudly, if I put my hand on my heart and recite the pledge proudly, then for some reason that gets processed as, oh, he thinks the country's perfect. Oh, he thinks America's the best, period. Beat it if you disagree. The whole notion of nuance, Ben, you know, the whole idea that you can love an idea, love a notion, and come together and celebrate the intent of the founders, along with the incredible sacrifice of every man and woman who's ever worn the uniform. Like, if we're not allowed to do that without immediately saying, but that's not to say that we haven't made a whole bunch of mistakes, or, but that's not to say that we, of course we have a long way to go. Of course it's a work in progress. Of course we're not finished, but that's the nuance that's lost. So to make the case for Jefferson, to make the case for Washington, to talk about the incredible genius of those minds, people simply can't hear it because they can't see these men in their own time. They have to see them now. And they can't, it seems, think about what's really on the table. I think maybe it's because judging is so much easier to do and so much more fun, right? So we've kind of abdicated the thinking part of the dialogue and replaced it with the judging part, and then completely arbitraged the whole notion of context out of it. And so it's black or white, it's blue collar or white collar, it's good or bad or right or wrong, and so forth and so on. And so bye-bye nuance, right?
And one of the things that's so ironic about all of that is the very same people who will, you know, go soft on terrorists because obviously those terrorists have motivations of their own, we can't blame them for their activities, they're the same exact people who are very, very harsh on the founding fathers. So they'll be very harsh on George Washington for being a slaveholder, which, of course, I mean, slavery is bad. We all get it. But turns out that most of the world did not get that in approximately 1770. In fact, most of the world was still holding slaves in 1770. And so the you know, understanding that is completely meritless for them. Those people have to be robbed of all nuance. But all nuance must be provided to people in the here and now who are doing truly evil things. Those people require all of the context and nuance that can be mustered for them. But a historic figure whose principles you are living on the back of, in the end, what this comes down to is an extraordinary level of narcissism and ingratitude for the past. This belief that you sprang full-fledged into existence with this set of principles. And so everything that you think that is good and true is because you reasoned your way to it yourself. Robert George, my friend, is the philosophy professor over at Princeton. He does a thought exercise with his students where he says, okay, let's say that you're living in 1861 Alabama. You were brought up in 1861 Alabama. How many of you are working with the Underground Railroad? How many of you are siding with the North as opposed to the Confederacy in the Civil War? And every hand goes up. And he says, you're lying. That's obviously not true. That's obviously not true. But, you know, we have this very flattering view of ourselves that we are the only perfect people in history. And everybody else in history is a sinner, even if those are the people who develop the principles that we stand on the back of. More on that in just a second. This Christmas, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mom and her baby. Picture a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling overwhelmed, alone, unsure what to do. She's desperately searching for hope. That's where Preborn Ministries steps in. Kelsey found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. Like many women in her situation, she felt scared, uncertain about what to do. Having already experienced one abortion, she promised God she didn't want to go through that again. But life has a way of testing promises. By the grace of God, Kelsey and her partner found their way to a Preborn Network clinic. From the moment they walked through the doors, they were overwhelmed by love and compassion. And there, Kelsey was introduced to her unborn baby through a sonogram. Hearing that tiny heartbeat brought them both to tears together, they chose life. Today, Kelsey is deeply grateful for her beautiful son, whose joy lights up her life. This Christmas, for just $28, you can help save a life. Thanks to a special matching grant, your gift will be doubled by preborn. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. Alrighty, folks, coming up more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Reading, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Excellence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. Visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street. We are here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. Call us today at 530-338-2094.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. Bill Grace will join us for our annual look at vintage New Year's Eve specials hosted by Guy Lombardo. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a few weeks back, we had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe. You know, I'm from Dirty Jobs. Here's what the conversation sounded like. So I want to ask you, because obviously you're a master storyteller, of the stories that you tell in Something to Stand For, do you have a personal favorite? What's your favorite story that you talk about in the movie?
It's a great question and a truly vexing one, because if you know the old Paul Harvey format, the rest of the story, they're all a surprise. They're all a reveal, you know, and I don't want to wreck it for people, but I'll tell you, the greatest thing that happened filming the movie, and by the way, this entire, all of the recreations, which are pretty elaborate, were all shot in Oklahoma. There are 300 actors in this thing. They're all from Oklahoma. The entire crew is from Oklahoma. We started talking about the advantages of leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, where I'm currently broadcasting from. You're in Florida, where it's hot and free, and in Nashville, You know, I film in Georgia where the tax breaks are nice, but they're even better in Oklahoma. So for a whole lot of practical reasons, you know, I wanted to tell some stories from the heart, and I wanted to do it from the heartland. So this mostly takes place in Oklahoma. But to stitch it together, I drove the old Bronco into D.C. on this field trip on steroids. And while I was there, Ben, I went to Arlington. I went to all the big memorials. And their honor flights were everywhere. Old men, 80s, 90s, met a couple guys in their hundreds, wheelchairs, there with their families, there with volunteers, going to these memorials, going to these monuments, going to these statues. Dude, I mean, I know you've seen it, but when you see tears streaming down the worn and leathered face of a man who risked his life to make yours better, sitting there, looking at that wall of stars at the World War II Memorial, and really seeing for the first time that collective expression of gratitude built for him. I'll tell you, man, I'm not overly earnest, but the movie, I hope, will have an exponential impact and really magnify that little thing. And again, final thought on it, it just goes to show part of the movie is very, very scripted. These stories are very deliberate. You know, I tell them from an empty stage in an empty theater, and then we bring them to life. But it's the unscripted moments. It's the people you run into, and thank God there's a behind-the-scenes camera always rolling with me, and you suddenly find a story you didn't know you needed to hear from a guy you didn't know existed, who was brought to a place by people who loved him to reconnect with the sacrifice he made once upon a time. That kind of storytelling does require a level of humility that demands you let go of your plan and point the camera at the most interesting thing that's going on.
So, you know, you've made a career out of doing exactly that, is taking stories that may have been left behind and bringing those to light. Obviously, that's true of dirty jobs and you know, many of the blue-collar jobs that seem to go neglected by the media. So I want to switch over to that topic for a moment, because one of the things that's happening in election 2024, again, without getting too political, is the feelings about the economy are heavily divided. Obviously, you have a group of people who've done quite well in the current inflationary economy. The people who've gotten absolutely clocked in the face is everybody in the middle class, blue-collar workers. Inflation has trashed them. Their wages have not kept up with the inflation. They've seen their prices on everyday goods and services go up tremendously. Going to a restaurant at a cheap restaurant is now a luxury. Being able to afford dinner is very difficult. All of the gas has gone up. All these things have happened over the course of the past few years. And then they're being told by the media that basically it's all a myth, that really there's nothing for them to worry about. So, you know, when you are talking with folks who are working blue collar jobs, what's the experience that you're getting from them on the ground right now?
It's largely that. However, there is a line in the blue collar world that often gets conflated, if not outright ignored. And that's the line between blue collar workers, both union and non-union, who fit really the cohort you've just described, and the entrepreneurs. My foundation really tries to encourage a level of entrepreneurship along with the curiosity required to master a skill that's in demand. The entrepreneurs that I've stayed in touch with, and we've had about 2,000 people go through MicroWorks, it's one of the great unreported stories of our time. A guy spends $8,000 and gets his welding certification, and he begins to work, and then he expands that certification. Maybe he's welding underwater. Maybe he's doing different kinds of fairly esoteric parts, aspects of welding that most people don't know. But more often than not, what he does is he buys a van, and he hires a buddy who's a plumber, and then he gets another guy who's an electrician, and then he gets some heating and air conditioning guys, and before you know it, you have a mechanical contracting company. But the real conversation that's happening today isn't, oh my God, I didn't know you could make 150 grand as a plumber or a welder, or, oh my God, I had no idea that plumbers were in such demand here, here, and here. The conversation today is, oh my God, you're telling me I have to wait 4 days for a plumber? A week? Everything you just said is true, but underneath it is some really bad math. The math goes like this. Every year, 5 skilled tradespeople retire. For every 5 who retire, 2 replace them. Now it's closer to 1.5. And it's been like that for nearly 20 years. So we're seeing an incredible lack of interest and enthusiasm around these skilled trades. And so I guess my answer is it's true. Inflation, super bad. The inflation credentialing, something else we could talk about, a real problem. The cost of college, an enormous problem. The unintended consequences of forgiving student loans, all that stuff is part and parcel of the madness that's happening right now. But the entrepreneur who took the time to master a skill that's in demand is crushing it in this economy. And they're setting their own schedule, and nobody's talking about them. And that's too bad, because as examples go, they're good ones.
Coming up, more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
what is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Required to qualify. I'm required to qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I sat down with Mike Rowe. We had a great conversation. Here's some of what it sounded like. So let's talk about that fact that our economy has been geared toward the college graduate for 60 years at this point, that basically, for the last three generations, there's been a huge push that every single person needs to go to college. You and I talked about this back in 2018. And many of these people are not getting degrees in anything productive. It's not like they're going into a STEM field where they're actually learning a skill set. They're doing what I did, and they're getting a poli-sci degree, mainly so they can go to law school. Or if they can't go to law school, they get a poli-sci degree and then hope to latch on at some sort of white-collar job doing desk work somewhere. But a lot of those degrees are effectively worthless or counterproductive, given that they're now being put into serious debt. So let's say that you have an 18-year-old, and you're now thinking about college. This has actually become a big issue in my personal community because obviously you've seen a wide increase in anti-Semitism on a lot of these college campuses. So I'm getting a lot of questions on a personal level from Orthodox Jews who are coming to me like, I have an 18-year-old. My kid doesn't want to be a doctor, doesn't want to be an engineer. What do I do with my kid? And what I've been saying to them is you might want to think very seriously about seeing if you can find an apprenticeship for your kid with a good business. And seeing if you can, you know, take all the money you're going to pour into college and then maybe give them a chestnut that they can use to build a business once they actually have a skill set. What's the case you'd make to an 18-year-old? When is it good to go to college? When is it bad to go to college? Well, what would you be telling an 18-year-old who isn't necessarily going to be a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a very personal conversation. One of the things I've become deeply skeptical of is cookie-cutter advice, bromides, platitudes. The desire to paint with a broad brush is part of the reason we got into this problem, right? People started to say, in an attempt to make a more persuasive case for higher education, they started to say all sorts of great things about those outcomes. But then, as with all PR, we went too far, and we weren't content to simply say, look at all the great things that higher education give you. We had to say, if you don't do that, you're going to wind up over here, turning a wrench with some vocational consolation prize, right? And this always happens. We always, always, always go too far. We're trying to make a case for a thing that needs some love, but we do it at the expense of all the other things. Then you pull shop class out of high school contemporaneously with that and remove from view all optical proof of these other vocations. And presto, you got a whole generation of kids who don't even know these jobs exist, right? So we did that. And that was super dumb. And now, you know, parents are looking for advice. We are looking for a simple thing to say to an 18-year-old kid who's trying to, you know, weigh and measure the whole thing. But it's tough for the reason you just brought up. I always used to think, look, regarding my own liberal arts education, I value it a great deal, but it didn't cost a great deal. You know, I went to a community college that happened to have some great teachers. And then I went to a university for a couple years, got my basic communications degree from Towson State. And when I added it all up, right, the community college, couple years at the university, graduated in 1984, the whole thing was $12,200. Today, the same course load, same schools, it's like $94,000. And so my thing was always, look, you can't say a thing is valuable at any cost without having a rational conversation about debt. So I always kind of stayed in in that lane. And in that lane, I've been able to say, look, I got this device here. You know, like we said earlier, I'm tapped into 99% of the known information. In the history of time, I just watched a lecture on my device over at MIT for free. Okay. So, you know, the access to all of that information is wildly different than it was when I graduated in the mid 80s from school. And the fact that the price has increased at the rate it has, I mean, nothing in the history of Western civilization has become more expensive than a 4-year degree over the last 40 years. Not energy, not real estate, not healthcare, nothing, right? And yet, it's still there. So I still make that point a lot. But to your point, the idea that not only is it too expensive, but it's damn dangerous, that too many of these schools are aggressively and willfully ignoring our past, if not changing our past. I hate to say indoctrination centers because, you know, that's turning into a platitude as well. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I'll tell you this. I've been doing this 16 years, raising money for work ethic scholarships and giving a couple million bucks away every year. Never before, not since Labor Day of 2008 anyway, has higher ed made my job easier. Never before have the headlines sent more people with deep pockets to MicroWorks to say, you know something? I'm simply not going to reward Harvard. And with respect, I know you graduated there, but come on, man, $51 billion in endowment, and we are now forgiving the loans from some Harvard grads? What are we doing? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I think I got this right, though. In the late 1950s, the average GPA for a Harvard graduate was something like 2.6, 2.7. Today it's 3.9. Talk about inflation. What's happening at Harvard? What's happening at Brown? What's happening at Dartmouth and Yale and so forth is extraordinary, both on the front that you mentioned, the protests, the plagiarism tearing through the administration. All of that stuff is making parents and donors nervous in ways that are totally different from the mere outrageousness of the cost. So what do I tell an 18-year-old in light of all of that? I say put every single option on the table. And I mean from apprenticeships, all of the scholarships, the Ivy League, community colleges, every single thing. And don't forget about the magic box that gives you access to the best liberal arts degree you could ever have at an affordable price. Don't forget that. But weigh it. And measure it and make your decision and know that, in the words of Led Zeppelin, there'll still be time to change the road you're on.
Yeah, there's so many bubbles that are associated with higher education. There's the price bubble, where obviously the demand has outstripped the supply largely because of subsidies from the government, because you can get easy, cheap money from the government to go to college. And so everything the government subsidizes has become more expensive. And then you have the ideological bubble that has expanded and expanded and expanded, and I think separated off the normal American from the universities in a particularly perverse way. I really think that, I've said this for a long time, there's been a lot of attempts to explain the phenomenon of Donald Trump or the blue-collar love for Donald Trump as a sort of reflection of economic concerns. What I've always said is that's wrong. It's a cultural concern. It's the fact that Donald Trump took these people seriously as opposed to all the college graduates who were staffing up the Obama administration, really kind of looked down on people who worked blue-collar jobs and who saw those people as having bitter clinger values. That Donald Trump has always represented a cultural challenge to an endemic hegemony of the left more than he has an economic challenge, per se. And so there's that bubble, this ideological bubble that exists on campus. And then there's this third bubble that I think is really going to burst pretty quickly. And that's something we talked about back in 2018, but with regard to blue-collar jobs. And as it turns out, it's actually more of a threat to white-collar jobs, and that is AI. So there's a lot of talk about how AI was going to put a bunch of blue-collar workers out of work circa 2018. And here there was a lot of talk specifically about, say, truck drivers. And that was a concern. It remains a concern. We are close to self-driving technology, which is going to lower the cost on a lot of goods and services, obviously, because shipping costs are very large when you're talking about supply chains. However, the vast majority of jobs that are set to just get destroyed by AI are all in the white-collar domain. A huge number of lawyers are going to lose their jobs because of AI. A huge number of journalists are going to lose their jobs because of AI. If you have a college degree in the liberal arts, your job just became way more expendable. If you have an art degree, AI is going to be able to outdo you very quickly. I don't know whether that's because it was made by people who had those kinds of degrees or whether it's simply that it's easier to synthesize information in these sorts of verbal or artistic forms than it is to actually work in the real world. And you've seen this with machines. Machines are very good at performing simple tasks, but they can't like clean your room for you because that involves a right. bunch of different tasks put together. So it looks like there's going to be a resurgence in the blue collar market and there's going to be a downturn in some of the white collar market.
Look, if you're a fan of irony, it's delicious. And I say that with great respect to anybody who's going to be adversely impacted. But I spent a lot of time, 2016, 17, 18, every symposium I was invited to, every talk I gave, every think tank that welcomed me, you know, it always came back not to AI, but to tech in general and robotics and the displacement impact that was going to have on the jobs that my foundation typically focuses on. And I spent a lot of time, you know, trying to thread that needle. I talked a lot about the Luddite revolution. I talked about the fact that, look, it's not going to be as clear as you think it is. There will be an impact, and there are some robotic welding situations happening now that are mind-bogglingly efficient and effective. And it did have an impact, but it didn't have the impact that anyone thought. Not nearly to the degree. In fact, if you want job security right now, it is plumbing, steam fitting, electric, and it's the skilled trades. It's all that stuff. It's never been more secure than it is right now. But wow, dude, the AI thing, somebody sent me a link the other day and said, you just got to click on this, Mike. I asked the program to narrate a couple of paragraphs of this thing I'm working on in the style of Mike Rowe narrating Deadliest Catch. And I clicked on it and I listened to it. And had he not told me what it was, I would have simply assumed, yeah, that's something I did 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember it, but it's me. Well, it's not, you know? And so you're right. I believe the impact on all the fields you mentioned is going to be real, but you mentioned art too. And I'd love to riff on that with you for a minute, because when you take the art out of a thing, whatever the thing is, that's almost always the beginning of the end of the thing. And it's true of shop class. It's true of the skilled trades. You know, I'm old enough to remember when I was in high school, that stuff was called the vocational arts. And then they took out the art and it became vo-tech. Once you hyphenate something, you know, forget, the end is near. Votech turns into a bunch of squishy other acronyms I don't even remember. And then we just settled on shop, right? Shop. And then we walked it behind the barn and shot it. And that's how we got shop class out of high school, right? We started by retweaking the language and removing the art. When I think of AI and when I think of the possibility, I mean, what are you going to do when the machine, with the help of AI, can create a Picasso or a Manet or a Monet or a Renoir or a Da Vinci that is virtually indistinguishable, even with the greatest authenticators and the greatest umpires coming in. And when they can't tell the difference between a Beatles song that was just discovered that nobody ever heard and the fake that was just discovered that nobody ever heard, right? What's going to happen to the way we think about creativity and originality and ownership and money? How are we going to assign a value to a fake that's better than the original? What is scarcity going to mean in all of these places? It's going to not just change the way people get paid to do stuff. It's going to fundamentally jack with our whole value system. And the way we assign gratitude to a thing, right? If a difficult thing is now made with such ease, how are we to think about that, too?
We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, a couple years back, I was tossing and turning all night. Then I decided to try a Helix mattress. Let me tell you, it is a game changer. So here's what's great about Helix. They have 20 different mattresses. They've got the Lux for your fancy types, the Elite for the extra fancy, and they've got the Helix Plus for the big fellows, you know, the kind of dudes who love to eat beef but really hate soy. Now, you might be thinking, Ben, how do I know which one is right for me? The answer is you take that Helix Sleep quiz. It's quick, it's easy, it takes less than 2 minutes. I took the quiz myself. I was matched with a medium firm mattress, which is perfect because if the mattress is too soft, I get back pain. Here's another great thing about Helix. They ship your personalized mattress directly to your door free of charge. No dealing with mattress salesmen who are about as trustworthy as legacy media fact checkers. And get this, they give you 100 nights to try it out. Plus, there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So if you want to sleep as soundly as I do, head on over to helixsleep.com/Ben and take that sleep quiz. Plus, Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders for our listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/Ben. That's helixsleep.com/Ben. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Alrighty, folks, coming up more with Mike Rowe. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Hey friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Padron 60th Anniversary. My new personal favorite, starting with an exclusive Perfecto shape, handcrafted by one master roller using only the finest tobaccos from Nicaragua. After 60 years of excellence, this cigar is Padron's masterpiece. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a Happy New Year.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
9-5.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a few weeks back, we had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Rowe. You know, I'm from Dirty Jobs. Here's what the conversation sounded like. I mean, I think that people even now are underestimating what AI is going to do. I remember I was first shown an exhibition of ChatGPT 1, like the original version, must have been 2.5 years ago. And during this exhibition, I remember they said, the person who was showing it to me said that they had given it this prompt, and the prompt was a basic political question, like, can liberal democracy survive? And it churned out five paragraphs of pretty well-written prose about the conflicts between liberalism and democracy and all of this kind of stuff. And I remember my wife was there, too. We looked at each other like, that can't be real. And, of course, not only was it real, it was, you know, a very early iteration. And then we came back to a similar seminar a year later, and I was noting to somebody, well, you know, I've been playing with ChatGPT a little bit online, and I can see these errors. I've made videos, but I said, oh, we're like three versions beyond that. Like, well, what you're seeing publicly, we are way beyond that. And what I'm being told by people who work in this industry is that we're 3 to 5 years away from artificial general intelligence, which is a completely different thing than what we're talking about now. Artificial intelligence is you enter a prompt, and then the AI answers you by giving you the best answer it can. We're getting to the point with artificial general intelligence where it prompts itself, where it basically decides what questions it wants to ask, and then it pursues those answers faster than any human brain or network of human brains can. And that's going to boggle everybody's mind. I mean, it's going to destroy the way everything works. And so I think that ironically, what you're actually going to see is a reversion to many of the things that we have abandoned in favor of the tech world. So we abandoned getting together in person in favor of the tech world. We abandoned, you know, church in favor of the tech world, in favor of sort of pseudo-social interaction. But it turns out that the way that we're going to end up finding human connection is going to not, we're not going to be able to mediate that via technology anymore. We're actually going to have to, like, get together in person. We're going to have to go to events again. We're going to have to see people face to face. And that's going to receive enormous priority because everything else, as you say, can be done unbelievably cheaply. If I want to have a conversation with Mike Rowe 2 years from now, I'm just going to be able to type in, speak to me as Mike Rowe and have a conversation with you. But it's not going to be the same as if you and I got together over a cup of coffee.
That's right. Remember the old song? I think it's so groovy now that people are finally getting together. I think it's wonderful. I think you're right. I think there's going to be a giant reversion to something fundamental. Back to my question, how long you want to wait for a plumber? You know, AI is not going to change the answer to that. The answer is going to be, I don't want to wait. I want him now, right? So some things that have been out of favor are going to become wildly, wildly in favor. And so much of what we've been told is aspirational and what we've aspired to is going to freak us out. And yeah, I don't even know how to think about it other than to say it is all going, I think, things are going to get so basic. I posted something yesterday. Riley Gaines was on my podcast. I mean, brave kid, 24 years old, you know, and I said to her on the podcast, and I just wrote this, and I might live to regret it, I don't know, but I said, you know, Riley, you're the kid in the Emperor's New Clothes. You're the only one surrounded by all those townspeople who pointed and said a thing that everybody was pretending not to see. And I only bring that up because I think in some way our whole conversation is informed by people who are willing to say the thing that they clearly see to be true, those who disagree, but the majority of people in Hans Christian Andersen's story were the townspeople. And they were the ones who had to figure out whether or not to open their mouth, and most of them didn't. And then they had to figure out whether or not to open their mouth after the kids said what was self-evident, and some of them still didn't, right? But many did. And that dynamic is at work with everything we've talked about. It's at work with AI. It's at work with our politics. It's at work with our history. Maybe it's because we have so much information at our disposal coming at us from so many different directions that we can find something to automatically gainsay whatever it is the other side says they see. But we are entering this brave new world, you know, where we're all seeing the same thing, but concluding different things as a result. And I don't even know what to make of that, except to quote Huxley, who said in Brave New World, I think, that the greatest threat to democracy was total anarchy, but the second greatest threat was total efficiency. And what will we do when efficiency has so completely eclipsed effectiveness that all we're left with is this calculus of time and verisimilitude. And final thought, you said what came back was some pretty good prose, you know? And that was my feeling too with my legal experience. But back to the art. Look, this is the first batter in the first inning of a very long game.
Mike, really appreciate the time. And of course, it's great to be with you.
Likewise. Let's do it again in, I don't know, 5 years, 5 months, or we'll get our avatars and our ciphers together and we'll just hit the proper keys and nobody will know the difference.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Lisa Dwyer reports that officials in Gaza say that Israel has stormed a hospital in the territory's north.
Gaza's health ministry says Israeli troops have stormed Kamal Adwan Hospital, one of the last hospitals operating in the area, and forced many of the staff and patients outside, where they were then forced to remove their clothes in wintry weather. The staff says it has been hit multiple times in the past 3 months by Israeli troops waging an offensive against Hamas fighters in the surrounding neighborhoods. Israel's military says Hamas uses the hospital as a base, a claim which hospital officials deny. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Also at townhall.com, the suspect in the burning death of a woman on a New York City subway train has been indicted. Correspondent Mike Hempen has more.
Prosecutors say the man accused of burning a sleeping woman to death inside a New York City subway station has been indicted on murder and arson charges. Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez says the indictment will be unsealed on January 7th. If convicted, the suspect, Sebastian Zepeda, could spend the rest of his life in prison without parole. Authorities say during questioning, Zepeda claimed he did not know what happened, but he identified himself in photos and surveillance video showing the fire being lit. I'm Mike Hempen.
Stocks closed lower as Wall Street entered a holiday-shortened week on a down note. The S&P 500 fell 1.1% Friday, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 333 points. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says her agency will need to start taking extraordinary measures or special accounting maneuvers intended to prevent the nation from hitting the debt ceiling as early as January 14th. This sent in a letter to congressional leaders earlier this afternoon. More news, analysis, and headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Okay, every new year we all spend a few days seriously thinking about what we can do to improve our lives. Usually it revolves around better health, right? I want to strongly encourage you to do what I do. Take responsibility for your health by taking Balance of Nature's whole food ingredient supplements. Seriously, they're packed with 31 varieties of fruits and vegetable ingredients, from tomatoes to sweet potatoes and just about everything in between. This is a resolution you can truly keep all year long, like I do. This is your last time to put it off, because today you can become a preferred customer at Balance of Nature. Use my discount code MikeG to get 35% off, free shipping, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. This is an unbelievable limited New Year's promotion. You got to use the discount code MikeG. Call 800-246-8751, 800-246-8751. Use the discount code MikeG or order online at balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code MikeG to get 35% off, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Balance of Nature.
A Chinese man has been sentenced to death for using his vehicle to kill dozens of people in a crowded area. We hear more on the story from international correspondent Charles de la Desma, reporting from London.
Fan Weiqiu was venting his anger because he was unhappy with his divorce settlement, the court in the southern city of Zhuhai explained as it handed down the sentence on Friday. The victims were exercising at a sports centre. The attack, one of several in late October and November, has raised national concern about mass killings in China and spurred Chinese leader Xi Jinping to order local governments to take steps to prevent future extreme cases, as he says. Local leaders judges should examine personal disputes that could trigger aggression, from marital troubles to disagreements over inheritance. I'm Charles Villadefa.
You'll find breaking news and analysis, more headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Lawmakers in Washington are seeking to ban new sales of Chinese-made drones.
The argument is they could be used to spy on Americans and that the low-cost models are hurting the U.S. drone industry. But U.S. users, spanning from police officers to farmers to mappers and filmmakers, have come to rely on Chinese-made drones, especially those by DJI Technology, for their work or lives. Florida has banned Chinese drones in state-funded programs, but also appropriated $25 million to help offset replacement costs. John Scott reporting.
A top White House official says a ninth U.S. telecoms firm has been confirmed to have been hacked as part of a sprawling Chinese espionage campaign that gave officials in Beijing access to private texts and phone conversations of an unknown number of Americans. Administration officials said this month that at least eight telecommunications companies, as well as dozens of nations, have been affected. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a Happy New Year.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Thanks for tuning into the Matt Walsh Show. Early this morning, the Twitter account for the LAPD posted footage of what they describe as a flash mob of looters ransacking a 7-Eleven in the city. The looters swarming like piranhas or vultures, take your animal of choice there, can be seen stealing candy and bags of chips and cigarettes and other necessary items before they begin ripping the place apart, just sort of for the fun of it, it would seem. Now, it may come as a shock to AOC, but the one item left untouched in the store is the bread. The bread aisle is untouched. I didn't see anyone take any loaves of bread. None of the looters appear to be starving. In fact, many of them seem to be very much on the opposite end of the starving spectrum, let's just say. The other thing you don't see in the footage, of course, is any sign of law enforcement. Now, one might point out that the LAPD would be better off showing up to the scene of the crime and carting the criminals away in handcuffs rather than simply tweeting about it after the fact. We have long had a problem in our society with people filming crimes rather than trying to actually stop them. And now even the police have adopted this strategy. Now, of course, from the perspective of the police, they know that the Soros DA will just release anyone they arrest. They also know that if they have to get a little rough with any of the precious innocent children ransacking the convenience store, they'll end up in prison on hate crime charges. You know, if they show up there to make some arrests and it turns out that some of the people there don't want to be arrested and so they resist, and then the police, God forbid, have to use physical force to detain the suspects, then it's a hate crime. So what are they going to do? Instead, they just post the video. But then the video doesn't matter because the Soros DA won't pursue or prosecute any of these people. They could all be wearing name badges with their addresses and phone numbers on it, and it wouldn't make a difference. They're not going to be held accountable, and worst of all, they know it. That's the recipe for anarchy. And this is the anarchy that has obviously gripped hold of our cities all across the country. But there are a few other ingredients necessary to create a scene like the one in that footage or in so many similar incidents that we've witnessed, especially in recent years.
Another essential ingredient, obviously, is the collapse of the nuclear family. You know, if there were 100 people pillaging that 7-Eleven, I don't know how many people it was, let's say it was 100, I'd be surprised if even one out of 100 lived in a house with both a mom and a dad present. It's a general rule that kids with dads at home don't loot convenience stores. Now, there may be occasional exceptions to that. There's a reason why communities with much higher rates of intact families have much lower rates of mass looting and other forms of criminality. In fact, I don't know. We'd have to take a look. But has there ever been mass looting in a community with, a fatherless rate below like 50%? If you can even get over the 50% mark with kids at home with mom and dad, are there any examples of mass looting in a community like that? Another ingredient, though, not unrelated to the others, is entitlement. You know, the looters feel not only safe and secure in their actions with the knowledge that they'll not be held accountable, but also importantly, and this is the part that maybe we don't talk about enough, they feel morally entitled to behave as they're behaving. Indeed, they've been explicitly told by activists, by the media, by powerful voices in Congress like AOC, that they have every right to steal and destroy as they see fit. The narrative of systemic racism has allowed people like this to delude themselves into believing that they're oppressed by society, and thus society owes them something. Namely, society owes them whatever they feel like taking at any given moment. They're victims. And as victims, they're not responsible for their actions. They can do what they want. The leftist racial narrative allows them to believe that systemic racism is the biggest problem in their lives and in their communities, even as they actively work to destroy their lives and their own communities. The narrative self-perpetuates in this way. Like, you know, we're often told about food deserts in urban neighborhoods. That actually is one of the justifications also given for looting. It's a food desert. It's the middle of a city, but it's a desert. There's nowhere to get food. You know, we're told that there's a lack of grocery stores and convenience stores and other amenities. Well, and then we're told that this is due to systemic racism. And yet, the stores that do exist in these neighborhoods are targeted and victimized by the members of the neighborhood. The community violently chases businesses away and then claims that the void is caused by racism. This is the sort of destructive incoherence brought about by the systemic racism narrative. Speaking of which, the systemic racism lie has given rise to another, even more egregious injustice this week. And this is a story that hasn't gotten nearly enough attention. So I'm going to bring it to your attention now if you haven't heard about it yet. The Daily Wire has the story. Reading, quote, it says, a Minneapolis teachers union is stipulating that white teachers be laid off or reassigned before educators of color, quote unquote, allegedly to remedy the continuing effects of past discrimination by the district. Minneapolis public schools have seen a massive drop off in student enrollment, leading to layoffs of teachers with little seniority, something that is typical within the teaching profession. But the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers is opting for racial standards before seniority to guarantee educators of color protections, according to Alpha News, which reported this on Sunday. Starting with the spring 2023 budget tie-out cycle, if accessing a teacher who is a member of a population underrepresented among licensed teachers in the site, the district shall access the next least senior teacher who is not a member of an underrepresented population, according to the agreement. Accessing refers to the reduction of staff. Teachers of color may be exempted from district-wide layoffs outside of seniority order, the agreement says, adding that the reinstatement of teachers from underrepresented populations will be prioritized over white teachers, according to Alpha News. The racial stipulation was added in part in the name of social justice or to remedy the continuing effects of past discrimination by the district. Past discrimination by the district disproportionately impacted the hiring of underrepresented teachers in the district as compared to the relevant labor market and the community and resulted in a lack of diversity of teachers, the agreement reads. Now, as you might imagine, this policy of firing the white teachers first, which is what it explicitly says. Well, it doesn't explicitly say that. What it explicitly says is we're going to fire the or lay off or excess members of the overrepresented groups instead of underrepresented, which of course means white. Now, this is being criticized not the least because it's blatantly illegal. I mean, at least technically, in theory, racial discrimination in hiring and firing is illegal. But But just like the laws against looting are not enforced, neither are the laws against racial discrimination. And the pushback and also the explicit illegality of the plan have not swayed the school district at all, which defended its racist practices in a statement a few days later. The New York Post reports, quote, the school district released a statement to the Washington Times on Tuesday offering a full-throated defense of the groundbreaking deal with the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers led by President Greta Callahan. The statement says, to remedy the continuing effects of past discrimination, Minneapolis Public Schools and Minneapolis Federation of Teachers mutually agreed to contract language that aims to support the recruitment and retention of teachers from underrepresented groups as compared to the labor market and the community served by the school district. So basically, they're just restating what the agreement says. In order to heal the wounds of racial discrimination, they will engage in racial discrimination. This is like, I don't know, trying to heal the effects of rat poison by giving the victim more rat poison. Or you know what? That's not actually the right analogy. That's wrong. It's more absurd than that, because this is healing the effects of rat poison by forcing some other guy to take rat poison too. Okay, someone's been dosed with rat poison, and then the doctor shows up and says, I know what we're going to do about this, and then just grabs some other guy and shoves some rat poison down his throat. See, there you go. Now two people are poisoned. Now, that's what you do when you're not interested in healing. Instead, you're interested in vengeance. No matter if the person you're getting your revenge on had anything to do with the alleged crime that was supposedly committed. But this is the point of the systemic racism narrative, is to seed resentment, hatred, a lust for vengeance, and as we see among the looters, an unearned sense of entitlement as well. That's the whole idea. And it's having the desired effect. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales event at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. Visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street. We are here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. Call us today at 530-338-2094.
To qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Meanwhile, there was a debate at UC Berkeley about transgenderism, and I want you to listen to what this molecular geneticist has to say. Now, you may think a debate at UC Berkeley about transgenderism, you might think that the topic of the debate, given that it's at Berkeley, the topic would be like, are transgender people oppressed or really oppressed? We'll debate and find out. But no, in this case, they actually have someone up there who disagrees with the whole concept of transgenderism based on her scientific background. Let's listen to a little bit of what she has to say.
Trans women should be legally treated as women. Tell me why you're strongly disagreeing.
Because I'm a molecular geneticist. Being male or being female is a developmental process. You can't go backwards. Okay. So you can't change your sex, like, you cannot do that. And the truth is that currently in California prisons and prisons in other parts of the country, women are getting impregnated by other women, and there's just no way that, I mean, this is against the UN. After World War II, there was like a, I don't remember what body came up with this statute, but it was against, I believe it was the Hague. You cannot house female prisoners with male prisoners because they get raped. And that's happening today. You know, I go to the women's changing room at my gym, and there's a dude in there. He's putting on makeup and hoop earrings. And this is not something a woman does when she goes to work out. Nor do women beat each other to death, but men do. You know, and it's just, it's so sad that.
Of course, everything that she's saying here is 100% correct. And it's a very sad thing that we need to bring a molecular geneticist in to explain, you know, that men are men and women are women. Housing women with men in prison is one of the most grotesque human rights violations imaginable, almost as grotesque, but not as grotesque as chemically castrating kids. But the point that she makes there, because there are a lot of like slightly more subtle things. And so what she says there about like the fact that so if she's in California, so she probably encounters this a lot at the gym with the guys going into the women's changing room and they're putting on big earrings and makeup and stuff before they work out. And she says, well, that's, women don't do that. And so, you know, this is something that all women are already tend to be sort of more naturally intuitive than men, picking up on subtle things. And this is not, you know, having a guy in the women's restroom, or locker room putting on the clown makeup is not very subtle. But I guess the point is that, like, all women, they see the performance of womanhood that's carried on by these men, and every woman, even the ones on the ones farthest to the left, they see it and they all know, like, that is not what women do. This isn't even a convincing performance. So I think every woman recognizes that, but they don't feel like they're allowed to say it. And even this woman, you can tell that she's emotional and she's also very nervous saying all of these really true and basic things. Let's listen to the rest of this.
Sad that women have internalized misogyny to the point where the man's comfort takes precedence over the woman's safety. There's a reason why they don't want to be in men's prisons, because men beat each other to death. Women don't do that.
Ozzy, what, if anything, would cause you to move to the disagree? And is there anything you heard here tonight that would convince you to move one line over? It's okay to say no, I'm just trying to figure this out.
No, I have figured it out.
And you're confident?
I am as confident as I am that this is my hand in front of my face instead of yours. There is absolutely... This is the most insane thing that has ever happened to me in my life, that women are a feeling now.
Almost every single person that listens to that knows that it's true. And that includes almost all the people who would say otherwise. And that is the fundamental and very deep frustration that everyone feels on this issue, that I feel all the time, is that you're arguing for something and you're arguing against people who know that you're right. Everyone knows that we're right. You know, you're sitting in front of a brick wall, standing next to someone, saying that brick wall exists, and they're looking right at it and saying, well, it doesn't. But it does, and you know that it does. That's why you're not actually trying to walk through it. That's why you're not bashing your head against it. You know it's there. Now, what she says about internalized misogyny, that's, you know, the kind of left-wing feminist framing of this, and whatever. I mean, they can kind of frame it however they want to frame it, as long as they're opposing this madness. That's how I feel about it. But I will say that it's not actually internalized misogyny. It's fear, right? It's mainly just fear of the consequences of speaking out against this. And then it's kind of an internalized self-loathing, I think, also. Which the left, you know, propagates. Wants people to hate themselves. Because women that speak out, not women and men, we are screamed at and hectored constantly, and we're told that you're a bigot and you're all transphobe and you're all these things. And for me, given that I'm a far-right, stochastic terrorist extremist, those labels mean nothing to me. I laugh at them, okay? I've never felt... it's hard for me to even relate to the people who care about being labeled that way. I've never cared at all. It's not going to hurt my feelings in the slightest. But for a lot of people, women especially, that are more moderate and then close on the left, being called those words, like having those labels applied to them, really hurts. Because they've been conditioned that way. And so that's what it is. All right. This is from the Daily Wire. Singer Lizzo answered critics of her weight and the fat acceptance movement during a concert on Friday. Ye, the rapper formerly known as Kanye West. Can we just call him Kanye West? I feel like we just still just call him that. I don't want to misgender, but. Kanye West on Thursday told Fox News Tucker Carlson that Lizzo, whom he considers a friend, has been criticized for losing weight, something he found extremely troubling, and tied it to a larger targeting of Black Americans. Lizzo told her fans at Toronto's Scotiabank Arena, "I feel like everybody in America got my mother-effing name in their mother-effing mouth for no mother-effing reason. I'm minding my fat, black, beautiful business." That's what she said. Everyone's talking about me. I don't know why. Look, you know, there have always been, of course, pop stars who are provocative. That's as long as pop music has existed. It's thrived on that sort of thing. You know, publicity stunts and everything else. But it seems as though, in the past anyway, people who tried to get attention and then got the attention they asked for would then use that attention for whatever purpose they had in mind, or they would brag about the fact that everyone's talking about them and how famous they are. It was really, you know, very brash and showy in that way. Now, though, we have this game where they desperately flail around looking for attention. And then as soon as they get it, they cry. That's the process now. So the first part of it is not that different. Lizzo being morbidly obese, running around naked and everything in thongs, that's not something you saw in pop music up until the last few years. But the general thing of just like flaunting around and being half naked and just trying to get attention, yeah, that we've seen. Okay, so we can all agree that that's pretty standard fare. But the next part is not. I mean, the next part strikes me as pretty uniquely modern. Where you desperately, desperately clawing for attention, which is all Lizzo ever does. She desperately clawing for attention. All the time. Okay, you don't Whether you're morbidly obese or not, you don't walk around in public in see-through outfits unless you want people to look at you. So when you're going through your closet and you've got all your outfits there and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I really want to be incognito today. I don't want people to notice me. I just want to get in and out. I want to run to Walmart. I got to grab a couple things. I need some new, sponges and Windex or whatever from Walmart. And I don't want to be bothered. Well, you're not going to then grab for the see-through thong on that occasion. Maybe this analogy doesn't really work that well because it does seem like that's the sort of thing people do wear to Walmart all the time. But you get my point. Generally, it seems like if you don't want attention, you're not going to go with that sort of get-up. And that's what she does because she wants the attention. And then she gets it, and she just never stops crying about it because that's what the attention is for. It's you know, you want to generate the attention, and then you want to convert. There's this conversion process. Attention on its own doesn't do anyone any good. You got to be able to convert the attention into something. And we live in a victimhood economy. And so she converts the attention into victimhood tokens. That's essentially how it works. We're taking a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering, There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
X895.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, I wanted to mention this, too. This is an interesting story. From MSN, it says, a school district in southwest Missouri is bringing back a measure it last resorted to over two decades ago to address disciplinary problems, that is, spanking students. Classes started Monday for the 1,900 students in Classville R4 school district, about an hour west of Branson and some 50 miles from the Arkansas border. During open house, families were notified that the school board had adopted a policy in June allowing physical force as a method of correcting student behavior. Parents were handed forms to specify whether they authorized the school to use a paddle on their child. Formerly known as corporal punishment, the disciplinary measure usually involves striking students on the buttocks with a wooden paddle. In Cassville, staff members will employ reasonable physical force without a chance of bodily injury or harm in the presence of a witness. This is according to the new policy. Now, what exactly constitutes reasonable physical force is unclear, but that's what they're going to do. Now, this is interesting to me because it kind of, again, highlights some of the fundamental problems with the school system, the public school system. It's true that there's a total lack of discipline in the school system. Kids don't respect their teachers or the administrators. They don't care about the punishments. Suspension in particular is a really, and I think this is where the paddling idea originally came from, is that they were looking for another form of punishment instead of suspension. And that makes sense in a certain way, because suspension is a particularly stupid form of punishment, because the kinds of kids who get suspended are also the kinds of kids who love nothing more than to stay home from school. And they're likely to be the kinds of kids whose parents aren't going to hold them accountable at home. So by suspending them, you're not really accomplishing anything. Suspension only works as a disciplinary tool if the child being suspended, number one, wants to come to school, and so you're taking something away from him that he wants, and two, has parents who will react with appropriately severe, you know, with appropriate severity to their child being suspended in the first place. So if you need both of those criteria to be met in order for the suspension to work as a punishment. But usually, neither of the criteria are met. So what are you left with? They don't really expel kids anymore. Unless they're found guilty of misgendering, in which case we make, you know, then you can toss them out. There's detention, but that only goes so far. And what if a kid refuses to show up to detention? What do you do? This is the kind of hopeless situation that lots of teachers and administrators are in. There's like, there's nothing they can do. The kids are not listening. They don't care. They have no respect. They have no, you know, they haven't been raised to respect their elders or anything like that. So it's just, what are you supposed to do with them? And it's what makes you think, well, maybe it's time to introduce corporal punishment as another option. But then here comes another complication, because if I'm a parent sending my kid to public school,
in the year 2022. I am not going to be okay with paddling because there's no way in hell that I trust the teachers or administrators to dole out a punishment like that appropriately or responsibly. I just don't trust them. And so when you're using physical force in that way and you're authorizing another adult, a stranger, you have to really trust. There's going to be a lot of trust there. But I'm not going to have that kind of trust in any of the adults working in the school system right now. I just don't trust you. So no stranger, especially not one in public school, is laying a hand on my kid. I don't trust them. I don't trust any adult with that, especially not government workers in a government in the government school system. Yeah, I'm not gonna entrust government employees physically punish my child. No, this is the conundrum then that you deal with. The lax discipline doesn't work, but harsher discipline requires a certain amount of trust between school and parent, and that trust doesn't exist. And largely that's the fault of the schools because they've destroyed all that trust. So what's the answer? Well, I'll tell you what the answer is. Get your kid out of the public school system. That's the answer. Okay, one other thing before we get to the comment section, I wanted to read this. It's from Mashable. It says, earlier this week, a Twitter user shared pictures of what she thought looked like cameras disguised as fire sprinklers scattered throughout her Airbnb in Philadelphia. This prompted other users to begin sharing their Airbnb horror stories on Twitter. While an investigation conducted by the Philadelphia police concluded that there were no hidden cameras in the Airbnb, the social media damage had already been done. And so that's why on Twitter there was a trending for a while, Airbnb. People were sharing their horror stories of being in Airbnbs. Some of the tweets, someone says, LOL, Airbnb hosts are like, I need you to take your shoes off in the house, take the garbage out, turn the music down. And if you want to live under this roof, you got to follow my rules. It's like you're living at your parents' house at 19 as a service. Someone else says, we just abandoned an Airbnb in New York City, claimed to have AC and a double bed, also had lovely stains on the sheets and couch. And there was apparently a turd that was, I don't know if this was this Amber Heard's house that he was staying in? But there was fecal matter in the house, apparently. A lot of other horror stories like this. I'm just reading this to get to the point that I want to make, which is why are you all staying at Airbnbs? There are limited circumstances where I can understand it. Like if you're going away on vacation, you want to find a home, like a lakefront home or something, and maybe you use Airbnb for that. If you need a long-term rental, you're staying somewhere for 3 months, maybe you use Airbnb for that. But people use Airbnb when they're just visiting town for a few days. They use it when they're traveling. And that's what I don't get. You want to go stay in somebody's house? You want to stay in someone else's house and pay for it? Staying in other people's houses, that's the worst thing. I don't like staying in my own family's. If I'm visiting family, I prefer to stay in a hotel than stay in their house because it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. You know, nothing is set up the way that you would set it up. You're in someone else's house. It's their rules. It's their everything. They never have their kitchen set up the right way. Every time I'm in somebody else's kitchen, I'm just thinking to myself, why would you put the forks and knives here? Why would you put the cups there, not over there? It doesn't make any sense the way things are laid out. Makes no sense to me, especially when you consider there's a whole industry that had previously been set up for the purposes of providing accommodations to travelers. It's called the hotel industry. And hotels are great. I love hotels. I'm a hotel enthusiast. Some hotels aren't good, but you know if they're not going to be good based on the brand, based on the price. So you know what you're getting into ahead of time. And the hotels are specifically designed for the purpose of staying in for a few days when you're on the road. You know where everything's going to be. If you can't find it, you can call down. And there's a whole staff that's there, and their whole job is to just wait on you hand and foot. There's a bar. That someone will come and make your bed every morning if you want. They'll bring fresh towels. It's fantastic. The only reason to stay in Airbnb is that it's cheaper, but it's actually not cheaper anymore. A lot of times it's more expensive. So stay in a hotel. This message brought to you by the hotel industry. Actually, I'm doing it for free because that's how generous I am. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity
are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you'll find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays, that warm, happy feeling of being together with family, that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. So today we're going to once again pick on a fellow YouTuber who is in dire need of a good old-fashioned debunking. The channel is called Powered by Rainbows, so that should give you some idea of what we're getting ourselves into. Powered by Rainbows provides, we're told in the channel description, weekly LGBTQ education. The guy in the video we're going to watch wears a rainbow tie-dye shirt with the words Professor Pride on it. Now, I don't think that's his official academic title, though. I wouldn't be surprised if universities are actually giving out those kinds of professorships. I don't know. The particular video we're interested in today is about the alleged science of being transgender, as it says in the title. Now, this has been viewed 500,000 times, has 7,000 comments, most of them from people who say that the content was very encouraging and validating for them. That's not a good thing, because the content is also, as we'll see, completely misleading, dishonest, absurd, and since it's validating and affirming people in falsehood and delusion, extremely harmful. The whole video is 23 minutes long. I'm not going to force you to sit through all that. Instead, we'll take about 5 minutes of this, the crux of the whole thing, which purports to offer scientific proof beyond any shadow of a doubt that transgenderism is scientifically valid. We'll take that. We'll watch and we'll react. Let's dive right in.
The thing you have to understand about transphobic people is their entire argument all boils down to one thing: science. No matter what argument a transphobic person might call out in the middle of their hatred, the keystone of that argument seems to be on a scientific basis. If you're not familiar with the word keystone, it's a term used in architecture to describe the central stone at the summit or the top of an archway, locking the whole arch together. Now, if only there was a way for us to remove that keystone and scientifically prove their cornerstone invalid, then every single one of their arguments fall apart as a result. And at this point, I think you know where I'm heading with this episode, because luckily for us, science proves that being transgender is completely valid. So let's explain how we know this.
Now, one of the reasons that I'm responding to this video is that in these 5 minutes we're going to sort through, nearly every incoherent and fallacious and fraudulent aspect of gender ideology is put on display. We see it already in how Professor Pride has set all this up. In the world he presents, there are only two categories of people, even though he would say that he believes in a non-binary system. He actually believes in a binary system, but the two categories of people are those who agree with him on the topic of sex and transphobic people. That's it. Now, he's right, at least, that the opposing point of view does all come down to science. There are other elements to it also. Gender ideology is not just factually and scientifically wrong, but also morally abominable as well. But the moral problems all stem from the falsehood of the ideology. And so it does begin with the science. If you can disprove our scientific argument that men have penises and women have vaginas, then yes, you will have destroyed our whole position. You will have leveled our fortress with a barrage of facts and logic. We'll be exposed and utterly defenseless. So let's see if Professor Pride can do just that.
The most common argument that transphobic people will make is that you were assigned the gender at birth, which you were always meant to be.
Okay, well, it's a little bit of a stop and start here. We have to stop it already because Professor Pride packed more falsehoods into those 5 seconds than I thought was physically possible. He's sticking with calling us all transphobes, which is false, but I'm not going to point it out every time he does it because that's all I would be doing since it's all he does. And then he says that our most common argument is, quoting him, who allegedly is quoting us, you were assigned the gender at birth, which you were always meant to be. No part of that is true. That's not even remotely the argument we make. None of us are saying that. We do not believe that male and female are assigned at birth. No mere mortal assigns sex at all, and the assigning process, if you want to call it that, happens at conception, not birth. Also, notice how I'm using the word sex here, not gender. That's because I reject the category of gender altogether. Humans have a sex, male or female. Gender is a nonsensical, arbitrary category invented by pedophile sexologists in the 1960s. So if you want to engage with what you call the transphobic argument, you would need to begin by defending the invention of the gender category for human beings in the first place. Instead, Professor Pride just assumes that the pedophile sexologists were correct, takes that all for granted, and charges forward. This makes everything that comes after this point totally irrelevant, because you cannot assume that we have a shared fundamental premise here. We don't. It's the fundamental premise that we're fighting about. If you aren't going to defend that, and you're going to base your whole argument on a premise that you haven't attempted to defend, then you've already lost. But let's keep listening anyway.
As accredited psychiatrist Moret Altenay reports, we know that after a father's sperm cell fertilizes an egg in the mother's womb, that embryo starts to develop specialized genitalia, resembling male or female. Which genitalia it develops is determined by the father's sperm cell. But, quote, the brain and the body can go in different directions. Gender is not only in our genitalia, there is something in the brain that determines gender. So technically speaking, this argument saying you were born with the gender you were meant to be is correct, because your brain was born the way it is, and your brain doesn't switch out with someone else's. But gender is not determined by having a penis or a vagina downstairs. It's determined in your brain.
Now, notice what he's done here. It's the same thing that gender ideologues always do. Though these people claim that sex and gender are two different things, he conflates them whenever it suits his argument. Here he says that gender is determined by both your genitals and your brain. You'll note how he never says the word sex at all at any point in the argument he's presenting. But if gender, and by that he means sex even if he doesn't say it, is determined by both your genitals and your brain, then why would a man who is male in his genitals but female in his brain, allegedly, be a female? I mean, if you've proven anything there, and you haven't proven a damn thing, of course, at all, but even if you did, this is an argument, I suppose, for non-binary, for people who are in between or both or whatever. It's not an argument for women with penises. Of course, he's actually right that gender, read sex, is determined in your brain as well. I mean, your brain is part of the picture. That's because your brain is part of your body. And if you are a man, then your whole body is male, every part of it, every cell. A man with a male body automatically has a male brain because the brain is part of the body, and it makes no logical sense whatsoever to say that part of a man's body is actually a woman. To speak of a woman's brain in a man's body is exactly the same as speaking of a woman's arm on a man's body. Now, some men, especially liberal men, may have what appear to be women's arms. But in fact, if they're men, then their arms are men's arms automatically, despite appearances. The same is true of brains. Indeed, the very definition of the term man's brain would have to be the brain which exists inside a man's head. That's the only thing a man's brain is. Now, Professor Pride's argument is logically invalid in about 75 different ways so far, as we've seen. But let's go for 76. Because here he's going to tell us about a scientific study which proved, he says, that transgenderism is valid. Now, he never bothers to explain what he means by valid. But, you know, we can only focus on so many fallacies at a time here, so let's listen.
In this study, the 2,600 participants were put in MRI machines to scan their brains and record brain activity. The researchers also had cisgender men and cisgender women go through the same test. And finally, researchers compared the scans. On the left side of your screen, you can see the brain activity of a cisgender male adult. On the right side of your screen, you can see the brain activity of a transgender male adult. But you'll notice, they look nearly identical. And that's something researchers found in every single case out of the 2,600 participants. Their study concluded that transgender males have brain activity almost identical with cisgender males and wildly different from the brain activity from cisgender females, even though they were assigned female at birth of their genitalia. They also determined that transgender females have brain activity almost identical with cisgender females and massively different from the brain activity from cisgender males, even though they were born male at birth with their genitals. In other words, the brain is 100% backing the hypothesis that your gender is identified in your brain, not your genitalia. And it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that being transgender is completely valid according to science.
Okay, where to begin? Let's try to break this down. He does go on to mention one other similar study that did the same sort of thing and had similar results, he claims. And that's it. Two studies comparing brain scans. These studies prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that transgenderism is valid, whatever that's supposed to mean, according to science. He also says that the brain scans were nearly identical between trans people and the sex they identify as, and that this, again, proves absolutely, without question, that he's right about everything. Though he does at the end say this, listen.
The limitations of these studies are endless. As Dr. Altenay says, some of the brain scans show people are somewhere between, sharing characteristics of both male and female brain scans. And this scientifically proves that gender exists on a spectrum.
Wait, what? I thought you just said the studies prove your point beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now you're admitting the studies had endless limitations? And I thought you said the brain scans were identical. Now you say that some of the brain scans weren't identical but were somewhere in between? Which is it? Now don't answer that. I know the answer. The study said whatever you need them to have said in order to prove whatever point you're currently trying to make. This is how the gender ideologues approach literally everything, including life itself. The truth is whatever they need it to be in any given moment. It's as simple as that. And what about these studies? He says they looked at brain activity. What sort of brain activity? Which activities? The human brain can do like 10,000 trillion calculations a second. The brain's doing a whole lot of activities all the time. Saying that the brain activity between two people is the same means almost nothing. Or else it means that the two people are, what, identical clones of each other created in a laboratory somewhere? No, what Professor Pride means is that if you take a scan which examines a small, limited subset of some brain activity and you compare a, quote, trans woman to a, quote, cis woman, the scan will look similar sometimes, but not always. Okay, and? Notice how he put up on the screen an alleged example of a scan of a, quote, trans woman and a, quote, cis woman, and then gives his audience, few of whom are neurologists, presumably, about 12 seconds to analyze them and come to the conclusion that, eureka, they look kind of the same. Of course, nobody knows what they're looking at or what it means, and he also didn't let us see the control group. The scan from this trans woman, quote unquote, and this, quote, cis woman are similar, but what about a scan of a man who doesn't identify as a woman? How similar would that look? I'm betting it would be pretty close as well. Indeed, I'm betting that the MRI scans of nearly every human brain on Earth would look pretty similar to most people, especially if you don't know what you're looking at or how to read the scans. What does any of this prove? Well, nothing at all. The most it could possibly prove, and I'm skeptical it even proves this, is that some elements of the brain's activity in a man who desires to be a woman will mirror to a limited extent the activity of a woman who actually is a woman. Now, this, if true, is not surprising, and it in no way even begins to invalidate the claim that men are not women. At most, I mean, at the absolute most, it would be a somewhat interesting insight into the powerful psychological placebo effect that occurs when a man who wants to be a woman is validated as a woman. It can't get within spitting distance of proving what Professor Pride wants it to prove. And I've said all this so far, and somehow I haven't even made the most important point, which is this. He says that a man's female identity is valid if the man's brain scan looks similar to a female's. But what if it doesn't? If a transgender went in for a brain scan and you found that his scan looks more like his biological sex, would you then tell him that he's not really a woman and his trans identity is invalid? No, you wouldn't. You certainly wouldn't. Because all of this is irrelevant to my argument and also to your own. So, in summary, your argument is false, self-contradictory, built on a false premise, misleading, cherry-picked, and totally irrelevant to the claim that you're actually trying to defend. Otherwise, great stuff. Also, Professor Pride, you're canceled. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Donald Trump is asking the nation's highest court to wait until he takes office to make a decision on a TikTok ban.
Donald Trump's lawyers have submitted an amicus brief saying Trump respectfully requests that the court hold off on allowing a TikTok ban to go through on January 19th. It says Trump is seeking the ability to resolve the issues through political means once he takes office. That's a reversal of his efforts to ban the app during his first term. It's also an example of Trump exerting his influence before he takes office. The Biden administration considers TikTok a security threat because of its Chinese ownership. Arguments are scheduled for January 10th. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Also at townhall.com, newly released photos show President Biden and his son Hunter meeting with Chinese officials. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has more.
On Monday, America First Legal, or AFL, released photographs of Joe and Hunter Biden meeting with Chinese businessmen and government officials during the Obama administration in 2013. AFL had to resort to litigation to get the National Archives and Records Administration, or NARA, to release the photos. AFL said in a statement, quote, lawyers and representatives for President Biden and President Obama delayed NARA's release of these photographs until after Election Day. They were scheduled for release on October 23rd. Bernie Bennett reporting.
A ninth U.S. telecoms firm has been confirmed to have been hacked as part of a sprawling Chinese espionage campaign that gave officials in Beijing access to private texts and phone conversations of an unknown number of Americans. At least 8 telecommunications companies, as well as dozens of nations, have been affected by the Chinese hacking blitz known as Salt Typhoon. You'll find more on these stories, headlines, full analysis, and more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Okay, every new year we all spend a few days seriously thinking about what we can do to improve our lives. Usually it revolves around better health, right? I want to strongly encourage you to do what I do. Take responsibility for your health by taking Balance of Nature's whole food ingredient supplements. Seriously, they're packed with 31 varieties of fruits and vegetable ingredients, from tomatoes to sweet potatoes and just about everything in between. This is a resolution you can truly keep all year long, like I do. This is your last time to put it off, because today you can become a preferred customer at Balance of Nature. Use my discount code MikeG to get 35% off, free shipping, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. This is an unbelievable limited New Year's promotion. You got to use the discount code MikeG. Call 800-246-8751, 800-246-8751. Use the discount code MikeG or order online at balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code MikeG to get 35% off, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Balance of Nature.
A genetic analysis suggests the bird flu virus mutated inside a Louisiana patient.
That patient contracted the first severe case of the illness in the U.S.
The CDC reported the finding this week. Scientists believe the mutations may allow the virus to better bind to receptors in the upper airways of humans. One expert likened this to a lock and key. The virus needs a key that turns a lock to enter a cell. Though the virus may be changing to have a key that might work, the expert doesn't say it means that the world is closer to seeing a readily transmitted virus between people. John Scott reporting.
President-elect Trump asking the Supreme Court to pause the potential TikTok ban from going into effect until his administration can pursue a political resolution to the issue. Trump's request comes as TikTok and Biden administrations filed opposing briefs in the court. Oral arguments are scheduled for January 10th. Breaking news and analysis found at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. A NASA spacecraft has made history by surviving the closest ever approach to the sun.
The spacecraft and its instruments were designed to withstand the sun's scorching temperatures, but in space you can never be sure. So NASA scientists will be relieved, as well as delighted, to hear that the Parker Solar Probe has passed its biggest test, sending back a beacon signal indicating that it survived its historic journey. They hope it will have gathered new data on how material is heated to millions of degrees, how energetic particles reach near-light speeds, and find where the solar wind comes from.
BBC correspondent Taleb Ghosh reporting. Gaza's health ministry says Israeli troops have stormed one of the last hospitals operating in the territory's north and forced many of the staff and patients outside. Then they had to remove their clothes in winter weather. Friday's incident, the latest assault on a hospital. More analysis and news at townhall.com.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Reading Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Reading Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. 'Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReddingKia.com.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Reading, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a Happy New Year.
Make a little love.
lot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
If certain songs are sung, I'm sitting here saying, are you kidding me? Really, are you kidding me, Church of England? And you wonder why the pews are empty. You wonder why people are not going to church, because you're putting wokeness into the ceremonies. Wokeness. You want to censor the language. I guess Mary will be a pregnant person going forward. Anybody uses the term pregnant person to refer to a woman who is with child also should be a nominee or a recipient of the Woke Olympics. So join us today as we explore the nominations of the Woke Olympics for 2024. I have several. I have several in the world of sports. I have several in the world of education. I have a few in the world of politics, as you might imagine, and in the automotive world. But you're always welcome to make your suggestions and join in the Woke Olympics, because it's just a lot of fun. Now, we did have some victories this year, I think, in terms of the wokeness, in terms of stomping out the wokeness. We have several companies that have decided that the woke attitude, the DEI stuff, no longer works, and they are eliminating the wokeness and the DEI. And I also think they believe they're going to save a lot of money, because all of these companies that hired people and made them the DEI vice president on a corporate level, they're saving a bunch of money from having to pay those people exorbitant salaries. It happened at universities, and it happened in the retail headquarters. So that's a good thing. The DEI, which is attached to woke, they are connected, it's going away. And I think that's a very good thing. Walmart pulled back on all of its diversity work, all of it. We also heard Ford and Lowe's and Boeing have said, yeah, we're not going to be focusing so much on this. DEI projects are going the way of the buffalo. Wait a minute, we still have buffalo. Yes, we'll still have some people that have DEI, but we're not going to have the ones like we had in the past. It's not going to be an overwhelming majority of corporate offices that have DEI offices. So we'll deal with that. But the opening clip there featured Vice President Kamala Harris, who still is one heartbeat away from being the President of the United States. She is still the Vice President of the United States, the last time I checked, posted something yesterday about Kwanzaa and a bunch of hooey about Kwanzaa, which I believe is a hooey holiday. And maybe we should put out a list of hooey holidays as well. Kwanzaa, a phony holiday started in 1966 by a really bad guy who ended up going to prison for being a kidnapper who tortured women. But Kamala, she loves the Kwanzaa and wanted to give us a little Kwanzaa word salad. I played you a snippet of it, but, you know, you might as well enjoy the whole thing.
You know, my sister and I, we grew up celebrating Kwanzaa. Every year, our family would, and our extended family, we would gather around across multiple generations. And we tell stories. The kids would sit on the carpet, and the elders would sit in chairs, and we would light the candles, and of course afterwards have a beautiful meal.
Now, I'm okay with families getting together and having the elders, having the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles sharing the stories of the family. I think that's good. And if they're also sharing lessons about their faith. I think that's good. I think those are good things. And having a meal together, I think that's really important. But I just don't know, because Kwanzaa was first thought up by this bad dude when Kamala was two, and then she and her sister, they moved to Canada for a while. I'm not thinking Kwanzaa was that big of a deal. And the guy, Karenga, bad guy, went to jail, prison, 1970, and he was locked up for a while. So I don't think Kwanzaa was really in the community, as it were, especially in Canada. But Kamala's telling more stories.
And, of course, there was always the discussion of the seven principles.
Okay.
And my favorite, I have to tell you, was always the one about self-determination, Kuji Chagaliya.
What? What? Self-determination? You had to come up with something else?
Kuji Chagaliya.
Gesundheit, madam. Gesundheit. Kuji Chagaliya.
Kuji Chagaliya.
Sounds like one of those words at the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee. Where the kid asks about Kuji Chagali, gets the word Kuji Chagali. Could you use it in a sentence? Well, yes, it's a Kwanzaa principle. Let Kamala explain.
And, you know, essentially it's about that, you know, it's about be and do. Be the person you want to be and do the things you want to do and do the things that need to be done.
Yes. Yes, she made a word salad out of Kuji Chagali. It became a word salad.
It's about not letting anyone write our future for us, but instead going out and writing it for ourselves.
Okay.
And that principle motivates me today as we seek to confront the challenges facing our country and to build a brighter future for all Americans. So to everyone who is celebrating, happy Kwanzaa from our family to yours. Kuji Chagaliya.
Kuji Chagaliya to you, too. I may replace Testudo with Kuji Chagaliya. I wish that people would recognize the Ten Commandments as well. Might be a better set of lessons than something devised by a convicted torturer and kidnapper who wanted to basically supplant Christianity in this country. That was the mission. From Karenga. I know, sounds like some kind of a villain. But we'll get into more of that. it's a fun topic to have fun with Kwanzaa. Biden even posted something. Well, he didn't post anything. Somebody who works for him posted a happy Kwanzaa statement yesterday. Yeah, I'm not buying it. Not buying it at all. Biden, he doesn't know what's going on. He's in St. Croix at the beach house of some very wealthy person. And he flew there on your dime and my dime. And then he's going to fly home and then fly to Rome on your dime and my dime. Because, you know, he's the president. And almost 40% of his time in the 4 years in office was spent on vacation. Yeah. The phones are up early today when it comes to the fabulous, the wonderful Woke Olympics nominations. Let's check in with one of the early nominations. Steve is joining the Chris Plant Show from Texas. Hello, Steve. What part of the Lone Star State are you calling us from?
Good old Lubbock, Texas. West Texas, the buckle of the Bible Belt, maybe, you know, the edge of the buckle.
I know that. I thought the people of, like, Wichita Falls claimed that, but I have friends in Post, Texas, 44 miles southeast of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I pastor a church here, and I did a radio program on this station. I just happened to have the radio on when I got in the car this morning, and so I heard that topic. I thought, oh, man, this is my first time calling in the show, so I've got... do we get anything if we get gold? I mean, is it real gold like that we get, or is that just...
No, there's
no... I got a nomination that's going to get gold.
There's no actual prizes. You just get our eternal devotion for bringing up a great topic. But it sounds like you believe you have a gold medal winner here.
Yeah. I'm going to set the bar high, I think, for this. So, yeah, and this is... I sounds like it's made up, but it's legit. St. Christopher's Episcopal Church here in town. They have a drag queen for a choir director.
Really?
Yeah. Now I don't think that's his, I think that's his side gig. I don't think he's in drag on Sunday mornings. But no, 100%. It's not. I've talked to the dude individually, and the reason I came across all that initially was about 2 years ago when he was doing a gig over at a coffee house here in town that I nicknamed the Stumbleweed and Strange Coffee House. It was Tumbleweed and Sage, but anyway, yeah, he was doing a drag show there, typical, you know, what drag queens do at drag shows and for little kids, and so it ticked me off. I mean, it's big time.
Well, Steve, here's my take on this. This choir director is a grown-up, right? They're of their majority, over 18, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and the choir director is not doing a drag choir. They're actually doing the traditional church robes, choir robes, and singing the traditional songs, right?
I've never been there. I'm kind of busy on Sunday morning, but yeah. I'm guessing.
Well, you know, if they have a drag choir in church, I might be a little reluctant. But if this is an adult and not a child, adults can do what they want to do. I just don't think the drag church, drag choir thing would be popular in the churches that I've attended. But it'd be kind of interesting to see. Maybe one Sunday you should pop in and see if they do have a drag. I imagine it would make national news if there was a drag choir. I'm just saying.
Well, and that's what's sad. Well, yeah, what's sad is that it just the fact that he is in the position that he is, and he is a drag queen, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it in town now because I talked about it for a year on the radio. And so just the fact that a church, because I've heard what you were talking about there about, you know, church in England, I think it was, but. Yeah, that's where churches have come to the place that a church would, you know, allow that they'd hire somebody like that, or that he'd still be there, because it's just unthinkable for me. So, but I live in a pretty small box called the Bible, so I'm probably the wrong person to get that kind of opinion on. But.
No, that's absolutely fine. I'm all of allowing adults to be adults as long as they don't break the law, or if they're not foisting it upon children. And I wouldn't like to see a drag choir in my church. I'd like to have women and men singing as women and men. I just think that's kind of a good thing and respectful in a church. But I'm up against the clock, Steve. Say hi to West Texas for me. I miss all that land above the Cap Rock and the great people of West Texas. And I appreciate you being there. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. You've got a Woke Olympics nomination. Bring it to us. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. The Chris Plant Show.
Kuji Takalia.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
This holiday season, if long days on your feet are wearing you down, remember, hardworking Americans deserve better than pain slowing them down. For those who keep this country moving forward, Gedify shoes deliver on comfort and support. With patented VersaShock technology, Gedify helps absorb impact, helps support your posture, and gives energy back with every step. Listen, the nice people at Gedify sent a pair of their shoes to me and a pair for my best girl. We really love our Gedify shoes, and we get out and hike around the city, you know. We hike around the city with our Gedify shoes, and when we finish hiking around the city, our feet feel better than they felt before we started hiking around the city. Visit Gedify.com and use the code CHRIS. for 50% off your order of $100 or more. That's code Chris for 50% off your order of $100 or more at GDEFY.com. Stand strong and step comfortably this holiday season. That's GDEFY.com.
Eczema flaring up again. We have good news. Exoderm. If you or someone you love suffers from eczema or dermatitis, get Exoderm, the common sense answer for eczema. This stuff really does work. Exoderm contains the number one doctor-recommended ingredient in a clean hypoallergenic cream with no harsh additives. Take back control of your eczema with affordable, fast-acting Exoderm Flare Control Cream. Exoderm. It's in the first aid aisle of your local Walmart, HEB, and other fine stores.
Paid for by Bentland Products, LLC.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
From January 10th, they're going to rob that place. Now I'm going to do it with you. Don't miss Den of Thieves 2.
And the top goes gangster.
Starring Gerard Butler and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
You're not a killer. I am.
Den of Thieves 2. Rated R. January 10th.
Sponsored by Lionsgate.
Did you know that the coronavirus can damage the inner ear, leading to chronic dizziness and tinnitus, which is a constant ringing or buzzing noise? But there's hope. For help and more information, call 800-837-8428 or visit liferebalanced.org and discover a Life Rebalanced. That's 800-837-8428 or liferebalanced.org, sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
Do you have a special needs child or an older adult in your home? The risk of them leaving the house unnoticed is real and terrifying. But you can protect your loved ones with Vivint Home Security.
Alarm on.
Our child has autism. He doesn't usually elope, but one day he did, and it was the most terrifying moment of our lives.
If I didn't have a home security system, I would have realized way too late he's gone.
Right now, Vivint is offering a free doorbell camera with any new plan, plus free installation and low monthly monitoring plans. Smart locks, lights, cameras, and more make Vivint Home Security the smartest way to protect your family and prevent a tragedy. Vivint is the number one smart home service provider in the U.S. Protection is just a phone call away. Call 800-953-6693. That's 800-953-6693. Monthly service agreement required for free installation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The Chris Plant Show for a Friday, and we are looking at the Woke Olympic Games for 2024. It's Mike Opelka, in for Chris Plant, and the parade of nominees is beginning to enter the Olympic Stadium here at the Woke Olympics. I'm not so sure we're allowed to use this music. The Olympic people get really tense when you use their music, not during Olympic year. We'll find out. I'm sure they'll send us a cyst and deceased note. But we are honoring those people who over the last 12 months, those institutions, those politicians, those companies who've exhibited extreme wokeness in their actions and deeds and words throughout the year. And so you're welcome to make a nomination throughout the show, 888-630-9625. Trust me, there are plenty of them. There are plenty. The Associated Press, just to give you an example, getting a nomination automatically because they have, in fact, recognized a boxer, an Olympic boxer, as one of their female athletes of the year. I know it's ridiculous, but remember that Italian boxer who backed out? I think it was an Italian who was fighting against a man pretending to be a woman at the Olympics. And the Italian dropped out and said she'd never been hit that hard in her life. Well, the boxer who failed the DNA test has now been recognized by the Associated Press as one of the top three athletes of female athletes of the year, behind Caitlin Clark and Simone Biles. So good job, Associated Press. You guys failed miserably. Failed your biology test. And you also then denied a real woman the right of being the third best female athlete of the year. So I wag a finger at you, Associated Press, and I fling a Woke Olympics medal your direction. Your Woke Olympics nominations and more. I've talked myself into the corner. It's Opelka in for Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
This New Year's Eve, step into the magic and ring in the new year at Redding Garden of Lights. Celebrate 2025 with your loved ones surrounded by 2 million lights, live music from the band Hook, and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes. Enjoy delicious treats, warm drinks, and the spirit of giving as all proceeds support Turtle Bay's animals, exhibits, and educational programs. Don't miss out. Reserve your tickets now at turtlebay.org.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Hey friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron, 60th anniversary. My new personal favorite, starting with an exclusive Perfecto shape, handcrafted by one master roller, using only the finest tobaccos from Nicaragua. After 60 years of excellence, this cigar is Padron's masterpiece. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays, that warm, happy feeling of being together with family, that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Invest in your future with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready or transfer eligible in programs like nursing, forestry, teaching, accounting, physical therapy assistant, computer information systems, and many others. Classes are free for full-time students with flexible hours and compressed 8-week options. Perfect for working adults. Ask about the many financial aid options available to help you turn your calling into a career. Spring semester begins January 13th. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
This is Yolando Lupo from Capturing the Essence Soul Cave in downtown Reading, thanking our veterans and currently active servicemen and women and their families, their sacrifice and service to our great nation this holiday season,
as part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This New Year's Eve, step into the magic and ring in the new year at Redding Garden of Light. Celebrate 2025 with your loved ones surrounded by 2 million lights, live music from the band Hook, and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes. Enjoy delicious treats, warm drinks, and the spirit of giving, as all proceeds support Turtle Bay's animals, exhibits, and educational programs. Don't miss out. Reserve your tickets now at turtlebay.org.
I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago that you could pay people to leave. Even if they owed back rent or whatever trouble they were making, and it'd just be cheaper for you.
So you're saying that some of these people who are here in the country illegally, we should consider giving them a cash incentive to self-deport?
Yeah, I don't know why. I didn't ever want to punish my people that had lived in my properties. I just wanted them out, you know, and these people were tricked into coming here. I have some compassion for them.
I get that. I understand that. But are there not a percentage of people who are here among the millions who are here who might be here to exploit the system or, in some cases, as expected, do worse? Some of these gangs, MS-13, Trendy Aragua, anyone who's trafficking in children or drugs, those people are victims.
I'm talking about the second wave, Mike. The first wave is you just get those people you're talking about, you just round them up and get them out of here. I'm talking about the second wave of people that aren't criminals besides, and they didn't break into the country. The Biden's administration waved them in, begged them to come in.
So, and Lee, forgive me for making this leap here, but when I hear your words, and you're not incorrect, this administration left the front door unlocked and a blinking light on with a full meal on the table. And people came in and took advantage of that. But if that theory is allowed to be used, then theoretically, we should be able to tell everybody that was waved into the Capitol and didn't break the law in terms of vandalizing or attacking Capitol Police and vandalizing property, then we should say to those people they were waved in too, because many of them were waved in and doors were opened by Capitol Police. And so those people should be maybe allowed to be forgiven as well, which is kind of the way I'm thinking on that.
I've got absolutely no problem with that. That should be before anything.
Let me get this straight. Lee, let me understand this, because you have a multi-tiered program here. The first wave of people who are here breaking the law, not only because they're here, but breaking the laws while they're here, you're all in on us getting those people in the first wave and throwing their butts out of the country, right?
Exactly. They get nothing.
Okay.
Except pushed out of here.
And there's a second wave who came here because we basically made it too attractive to break the law and come here. And you want us to maybe encourage them to leave by incentivizing them to leave. How do we figure out how much to offer people to get out?
I've been scratching my head over that. But, you know, there's going to be a cost to rounding these folks up. And
yes.
I don't know. They got to have some kind of adjudication, I'm guessing. I don't know. You have to have some way of being sure you're not throwing out the wrong people. They have to have some kind of process. So I guess it would be, you know, if you could figure out roughly what it costs to get them out of here.
Well, that's an interesting idea. And I believe there is a European country. I'll have to check and see who it is during the break. I believe there is a European country that's already offered $50,000 or the equivalent of $50,000 in their currency for people to leave, because they have had a wave of migration. I believe most of it was from Muslim countries, but there was a giant wave of migration. I'm thinking it was Sweden. I'll have to go back and look. But there was at least one country in Europe that has offered 50 grand for people to go home. And now, here's my thought, Lee. If you offer people 50 grand to go home, doesn't that incentivize other people to go there and say, oh, I'd like to go back home. Where's my 50 grand? I could start a business back home.
You mean people that didn't break in?
Yeah, or people who have not gotten there yet and say, oh, there's a program to go back home and they'll give you 50 grand. Let's go there. Say we came here and we're not happy. It just feels like there's so much wrong with not just enforcing the law. You know, it seems like we're complicating it. I think your landlord theory is an interesting one, but I think we're kind of apples and oranges-ing this, or maybe oranges and clementines-ing it. You know, they're related, but not quite exactly the same thing.
Well, I haven't massaged the idea completely, obviously, but obviously you got to strengthen the borders first.
Yes, and that's what's going to be day one. There is a list of day one executive orders, and at the tippy top of Donald Trump's list is just that, is the border issue. So we're gonna see that first.
Like I said, I don't know. It just seems like, and I agree, it's kind of paying somebody to do the wrong thing, but yeah. It's just efficiency. Let's look at Doge, for example.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It's going to cost us 50 grand per person to find them, house them temporarily until we...
Why not offer them 30 grand to do it themselves and we save 20 grand per person? That's kind of what you're saying, right?
Exactly. And then they get to at least have a start where they go back. You know, a lot of these people have left everything, or some of them have.
I'm very nervous about this because I get it, but I think we are rewarding bad behavior. I'm just saying, I feel like one of the great principles that was taught to me as a young man was from one of my strictest mentors who said, we will not reward bad behavior. And so I kind of feel like I get what you're saying. As a human being, you see people who came here and maybe they were part of a mob mentality. Hey, they're giving away free stuff in America. Let's go. And they risked their way to get across the deserts of the Southwest, and they paid coyotes to get them into the country. And now that they're here, and now that some of them have spent 6 months to a year sponging off the country, we've realized, as New York City has realized, they can't afford it. It's completely unsustainable. And as Chicago has figured out, it's taking away from the tax-paying people, the good people of the city and of the country, who are feeling like everything they wanted to do is not happening because we're rewarding bad behavior. This is a tough one. This is I understand what you're saying, Lee, but I think we gotta be careful not to reward bad behavior. But I thank you for that. It's an excellent discussion on that. Very appreciated. Thank you, sir. Tying into my comment about the opening of the doors is Mike in Sunshine, Maryland. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. You understand what I was saying with Lee about if we're saying the government opened the doors and these people didn't know wrong, isn't the same apply at the Capitol, as it were?
Correct. You know, Clay Higgins has stated this, what I'm about to say. Clay Higgins has stated publicly, he has a whistleblower who has stated that federal assets were inside the Capitol dressed as MAGA supporters before the door opened.
Yeah,
as soon as the doors opened, they said, hey, you want to go to Nancy Pelosi's office? You want to go to the floor of, you want to go to the floor?
And the Senate.
Yeah, of the Senate. And so this type of behavior needs to be punished by a lot of these people were led by led by federal assets to their doom, and I think they need to be this needs to be corrected.
Well, I agree with you on that. That's why I was making the connection to what Lee was saying. But thank you, Mike. Appreciate you being there. Thank you. Let's keep this theme going since this topic is a hot topic. Pete in Vienna, Virginia. Hello, Pete. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir.
Previous caller had a good point. You know, we need to find a way to defray the cost and motivate people to go. And to be honest, I think maybe the first thing is, honestly, we need to turn off all of the jobs that they can utilize to stay in the country. So those employers that are paying someone under the table or skirting the laws, I think that is one of the things we have to turn that off, because that is enabling those people to live in the country. You know, E-Verify, instituting that widely, I think would solve that problem. That's probably one of the first things we need to do. And then when that spigot gets turned off, a lot of them will probably really get the feeling that they want to go back or they need to go back. And if we incentivize that with just maybe a free plane ticket, right? And possibly you get a free plane ticket, and if you go on your own accord, minimal penalties, or will allow you to reapply with no penalties, reapply for citizenship with no penalties.
Sure,
something like that would probably defray the cost significantly.
I think we're going to see a lot of this kind of thinking, Pete. I think we're going to see from the Trump administration, once it gets in, a lot of creative thinking that will incentivize those who broke the law to get here and didn't come here to become criminals with child trafficking or trafficking in drugs, et cetera, et cetera. I think it will incentivize those people to maybe get out of Dodge. If it's harder for them to continue bilking the system, and if we cut off the gravy train that so many of them are getting, the hotels, the three square meals a day, the health care, all that stuff, and start prioritizing our veterans and American citizens, I think those people will see it. But you also give them a really interesting incentive by saying, we'll also expedite you when you choose to come back legally. We'll help you when you decide to do this the right way. That's a very interesting and very humane response, Pete, and I appreciate you sharing it. Thank you so much. I have time to squeeze in one more quick one. Chris in Marshall, Virginia. Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon, sir. I really apologize for my last call, but it got got cut off. Anyway, real quick, I know you're against the wire. You know, we all know what DACA stands for, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's not NACA. It doesn't mean never acting about childhood arrivals. But I wanted to make a point about what makes our country great, and that is, you know, we've got this First Amendment, we got this Second Amendment, and all these, you know, these things that are really unique. Personal property ownership is one of them. And I maintain, now look, my MAGA bona fides are solid, but I maintain that if you're born in this country, birthright citizenship is one of the things that makes this country unique on the planet. Our problem, our objections, are not with birthright citizenship, it's with chain migration, and that's got to stop. Chain, the abuses, especially the abuses of chain migration. If you're born here, you cannot visit the sins of the father on the son. If you're born here, God bless you, you're an American citizen. Now, if you got to go back to Mexico until you're 18 and then come back in as a full-fledged citizen with rights and freedom, that's great, but you're an American.
Well, I appreciate your input. Your phone is a little wonky, and I have to take a break. It is the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka in from my buddy Chris Plant right here on the last Friday of 2024.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Attention, are you or a loved one suffering complications after taking Ozempic or Wegovy? These medications may be linked to serious gastrointestinal illnesses. If you've been hospitalized and diagnosed with gastroparesis, chronic vomiting, deep vein thrombosis, or experienced intestinal blockage requiring surgery, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call 888-900-LAW-1 today for a free consultation. That's 888-900-LAW-1. Paid for by Tort Defenders. Tort Defenders is not a law firm and does not provide legal services.
Eczema flaring up again? We have good news. Exoderm. If you or someone you love suffers from eczema or dermatitis, get Exoderm, the common sense answer for eczema. This stuff really does work. Exoderm contains the number one doctor-recommended ingredient in a clean hypoallergenic cream with no harsh additives. Take back control of your eczema with affordable, fast-acting Exoderm Flare Control Cream. Exoderm. It's in the first aid aisle of your local Walmart, HEB, and other fine stores.
Paid for by Bentland Products, LLC.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Do you have a special needs child or an older adult in your home? The risk of them leaving the house unnoticed is real and terrifying. But you can protect your loved ones with Vivint Home Security.
Alarm on.
My child has autism. He doesn't usually elope, but one day he did, and it was the most terrifying moment of our lives.
If I didn't have a home security system, I would have realized way too late he's gone.
Right now, Vivint is offering a free doorbell camera with any new plan, plus free installation and low monthly monitoring plans. Smart locks, lights, cameras, and more make Vivint Home Security the smartest way to protect your family and prevent a tragedy. Vivint is the number one smart home service provider in the U.S. Protection is just a phone call away. Call 800-953-6693. That's 800-953-6693. Monthly service agreement required for free installation.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. As someone who's dedicated my life to protecting people, I know the importance of guarding what matters most. Right now, with global instability and the dollar's declining value, that means securing your financial assets with gold. For me, I trust Advantage Gold with my own investments. Give them a call at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. Again, call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is Ernie Johnson, Jr. Sports is about overcoming obstacles, and college coaches work hard to help young men overcome Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE to 501-501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill, or go online to CoachToCureMD.org. Text the word CURE to 501-501. Help coaches cure MD.
Sponsored by the American Football Coaches Association. Texting and data rates may apply.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
It is the Chris Plant Show on a Friday, December 27th. Mike Opelka, that is me, sitting in for my buddy Chris Plant. And Friday focus outside of the headlines. Yes, there's more updates on Donald Trump and his efforts to expand America. Talking about making Canada the 51st state, taking back the Panama Canal, maybe buying Greenland. There's more interesting twists and turns in this, and we are going to get into it next hour. Debbie, what's your name? Schultz, Democrat congressperson from Florida, has weighed in, and so has Mr. Wonderful. from Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary. He's got something to say about all this, and he's looking at it from the perspective of a business person, whereas Debbie What's-Her-Name Schultz, she is looking at it from the perspective of a Democrat who has Trump derangement syndrome. We will get to all of that with clips next hour. Plus, we need to talk about your nominations for the Woke Olympics. And I mentioned a couple already today and have talked about some of the really woke things that we saw in 2024. I think 2023, it's going to be hard to beat the Bud Light thing from 2023 when the man pretending to be a woman really crashed a beer company, the number one selling American beer in this country, crashed and burned because of that wokeness. It's going to be tough to beat that. But there are some pretty strong contenders, and they come from all areas. The world of sports, the world of entertainment, the world of faith, the world of government. And I'm sure that I have not seen them all. I think one of the most obvious comes out of the world of politics, and I think it had a lot to do with Kamala Harris losing and Donald Trump winning. And that is Kamala's choice for a running mate in Tim Walz. Suffice it to say, when the vice presidential candidate is known as Tampon Tim because he wanted to put tampons in the boys' bathrooms in Minnesota schools, yeah, you're going to get a Woke Olympics nomination. We'll get into all of it. Second hour of the Chris Plant Show just around the corner. It's Opelka in for Plant right here on the Chris Plant Show. Funny how that works out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.